unnecessary roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco.
We're now joined on the phone lines by Patrick Walker of CBS Sports. And
now, if Zeke does get wrapped up in the next, you know, day or so, whatever it is, do you expect him to be out there and playing on Sunday versus the Giants? And how much do you expect him to go?
I fully expect him to be out there. He's in fantastic shape. He did not go to Cabo to party. He went out there to train. He's lost a little bit of weight as far as, fat is concerned, not that he had much, although the narrative would tell you otherwise on Twitter. But he gained some muscle mass as well. So he's in fantastic shape, that, as you guys will soon see, kind of shade to what we saw from 2017 when he returned from Cabo after that six-game suspension. But it looks like the way the momentum is barreling down the trail, or down the track, I should say, it looks like the deal is going to land here in the next 24 hours. I'm hearing that the Cowboys are doing their best to try to facilitate a press conference potentially as early as Wednesday.
The 12 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Prompt Technology. Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And good afternoon on this Wednesday, September the 4th, 2019. 12:02 is the time here on ESPN Central Texas. And right there in the open, you heard our conversation on Tuesday afternoon with Patrick Walker of CBS Sports. And less than 24 hours later, or about 24 hours later, we have news on Ezekiel Elliott, as you may have heard so far this morning. Got the alert on your phone or just flipping through radio shows, you heard it. But Ezekiel Elliott is back with the Cowboys. A new deal has been agreed upon, signed, and a press conference is forthcoming. Probably not today with Jerry Jones out of town, but likely tomorrow we will have an Ezekiel Elliott press conference to announce his big, fat new contract. And it's just amazing to me that for all of the hand-wringing over the last 5 or 6 weeks, all of the talk, all of the times Jerry Jones went on the record and said, we're not going to set the market, we're not going to do this, we'll be fine if we have to go this direction, Tony Pollard's a good running back. Well, after all of that was said and done, all that hand-wringing, weeks and weeks of it, Ezekiel Elliott is the highest-paid running back in the NFL and has a record-setting contract. So for all of that talk about that, well, in the end, he got exactly what he wanted. He got the record-setting running back contract deal, and kind of feels like he could have nipped this in the bud about 4 weeks ago and just knocked it on out, but that's not how the Cowboys operate. But folks, if you're a Cowboys fan, today's a day to celebrate for you, because the long national drama is finally over. $50 million guaranteed headed Ezekiel Elliott's way as a part of this contract. That is $5 million more than Todd Gurley had as far as the guaranteed money goes, the $45 million previously, the most for an NFL running back. So the 24-year-old former Ohio State Buckeye that was under contract for another couple of years is now going to be in a Cowboys uniform for the foreseeable future and certainly through the remainder of the majority of his prime. And it's all done, guys. Ezekiel Elliott is locked down now. 6-year extension with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, man. It's pretty impressive that they were able to get it done when they wanted to get it done, and they, you know, finally bunkered down and said, all right, let's do it, and they did it. He got a nice big deal. He's the highest-paid running back right now, and he probably will be until Saquon Barkley comes up or maybe a Christian McCaffrey. But either way, it doesn't matter. As long as he can get in shape now and be in game shape and get out there and play on Sunday versus the Giants, and again, throughout the season, they need him. The Cowboys need him. He's a key to that team, that offense, everything. I mean, he is that guy. He means that much. And I've seen a lot of people, a lot of fans kind of, you know, blow back on the contract and everything. Whatever, man, that's the guy. That's the guy that makes things go in Dallas. And so good for him. Got the deal done. Now get ready for the season.
Yeah, I don't care how much money he makes or any other athlete for that matter. There are certainly contracts where I'll look at and I'll go, whoa, I don't know about that one. But to argue against him being the highest paid running back in the NFL, I don't think there's much of a case that you can make against him being just that. Now, if you're a Cowboys fan and you're looking at the salary cap and going, oh my gosh, how are we going to do that? Well, that's your problem to deal with. On my end, I'm just looking at it like, okay, deserving, cool, and that's one less story that we have to talk about the rest of the way through, and that can just go on and get out of the way, and we can now talk Dallas Cowboys football on the field. Game number one coming up later on this weekend. You hear your boy Q right there chiming in for the first time on the show today. How are we doing this afternoon?
I'm good, man. Got a packed show. Yeah, just got a real packed show, so I'm fired up.
Yeah, definitely. Steven Simcox with us as well. How are we doing this afternoon?
I'm good, yeah. I mean, the Zeke news is good to know, and he's here now. He should play in week one, and everything should go according to plan. Yeah, apparently we had Ed Warder on Mosley's show today, and apparently they got done about 4 a.m. this morning. Not sure why, you know, talk suddenly just happened then, but he said it was actually not going well. Like late at night, they thought they would get it done, and then it looked like they might not get it done. He might not play, and then about 4 a.m. both sides came together and made it happen.
Yeah, so it's all done now. And, well, I guess that's all we have. All right, folks, hope you have a good afternoon. We're going to be on out of here. The Zeke news is done, so that's all we have for you this afternoon, right? No?
No, man.
We got more to talk about than
plenty
just, than Zeke
about,
Elliott?
Plenty to talk
well,
about.
Well, we'll talk a lot about him, obviously, but that is the big news today because this has been something hanging out there for going on several weeks, and now he's back at practice. Jason Garrett had a little press conference earlier today that I listened to, and quite frankly, it was kind of strange, and I know he's not the most emotional guy anyways. I wasn't expecting him to come out with, like, party poppers and balloons and, you know, popping confetti on the reporters in the front row or anything like that. But you would have thought, like, nothing had happened, nothing had changed. Everything was just same old, based on Jason Garrett, because he was very nonplussed by the entire thing, just sort of like, yeah, he's here, and we'll get him to work, and that's it. And that's all he really had to say. It was kind of funny because I know that behind the scenes – even for somebody who never looks all that stressed out in front of us on cameras, he had to be sweating it a little bit behind the scenes, as much confidence as he does have in other guys. But for any happiness that he was feeling to get this out of the way and get to focusing on game number one with no distractions, he certainly wasn't showing it. So I don't know if that's because he's locked in on game one or he just doesn't want to give too much attention to Zeke, seeing as how Zeke's already gotten all of the attention for 2 months now. But yeah, he was just very chill, matter of fact, and just wanted to talk some football. So I found that interesting.
Well, I think football is the most important thing for Jason Garrett because he might only be around for 1 year of the Zeke Elliott extension if he's not careful, if he doesn't go and handle his business this year. I mean, this team is built to win. They are absolutely built to win. You look at it. The defense is solid. The run game is solid. The quarterback is solid. The wide receivers are solid. I mean, there's no reason why this team doesn't go out and win a lot of games and get into the playoffs and make a deep run. If he does not do that, he's not going to be here to enjoy Zeke anyway. So I think his number one focus better be on football and not on whose contract is what, because it might not matter.
Yeah, it very well might not. So I can understand him not, you know, like I said, popping balloons and or, you know, doing any crazy things in celebration because, to your point, he may only get this 1 year with Zeke. And Zeke, we know, don't have to worry about going anywhere anytime soon. Now he's fat, happy, and locked down for the foreseeable future. So his job's secure. Jason Garrett's, on the other hand, little bit less secure, is fair to say, I think. So we'll get into the details of this new deal that has him back at practice today and preparing for the Giants in week number one. A pretty busy show for you this afternoon. We'll hear a little bit of Jerry Jones. He's out in New York. He's on the stock exchange, one of his companies. I guess their stock price went up, and I know there's been a lot of talk about that, but he was on Wall Street earlier today, and in being on Wall Street, he did a couple of TV appearances, and we'll have a little 2-minute clip of Jerry from this morning when he joined, I want to say it was CNBC, and hopped on their set right when the Zeke news was popping, and so he got to react almost immediately. It's funny, it wasn't SportsCenter, it wasn't like FS1's, you know, big show, whatever that is. It was, you know, like a political channel, basically, that had the first take from Jerry, so that was kind of funny, but we'll have that for you coming up in the next segment.
I will say it's kind of funny to me that Jerry's in New York when all this is going on with Zeke, and he sure was at the Star in Frisco when he was signing the contract, and the contract was being signed by Jalen Smith. I find that kind of interesting, even though I know Jalen Smith and him are very close, and they're business partners as well, and it was very personal to him, as you saw in the press conference, and I'm sure Jerry will do it up when they actually have the real presser. But if you remember correctly, Jalen Smith signed his contract. Jerry was there. Jerry, you know, the announcement, when the contract announcement was made, Jerry was there. Matter of fact, he made them hold on for an extra day so he can get back from wherever he was to get to the Star in Frisco. This time, I'm in New York. I'm in New York chilling. I got to take care of some business on Wall Street or whatever, and he's not there for Zeke. So I did find that kind of interesting. Not that it's going to matter, because the check's all clear the bank, and Zeke's going to get his money regardless. So I'm sure he doesn't really care, but it's just something that stood out to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got $90 million headed your way, I don't think you're sweating too much about Jerry being a day late on holding a press conference. But yeah, it is kind of interesting just the timing of it that he's not in town and that, like, of all days, today he had to be on Wall Street the day they strike the deal with Ezekiel Elliott. It's just kind of funky how that happened. But the reason why he's up there, He's got a bunch of shares, 88, nearly $89 million shares in a company called Comstock Resources. And since Jerry rang the opening bell at the exchange today, the value per share of Comstock Resources went up $1.01 per share. Given that Jerry owns 88.6 million shares, that means in just this morning, with that Comstock stock, he made $89.4 million based on it going up $1.01 because of the amount of shares that he has. And that is nearly the entire amount of money we're talking about with Ezekiel Elliott's contract. Now, granted, in 10 seconds, he could lose $89 million. That's how it works, right? But yeah, he's having a pretty good day today, safe to say. And obviously his business ventures are why he was on Wall Street to begin with. So I can see where that would also take priority and not really something that you could reschedule, you know, or move around most likely, I assume that is. But big day for the Cowboys, big day in sports in general. We're going to get in a lot of different things this afternoon. We'll be joined by Billy Embody, who covers LSU, here in about 18 minutes from now to talk that Texas and LSU game coming up this weekend. We'll have NFL news and notes with Cover 3 at 1 o'clock. Jeff Wilson, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, has had to bump up today, so he'll be at 1:15. We'll have Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7 talking Texas LSU, so you'll get both sides of that game being previewed today. We'll have him at 1:30 in his usual spot, and Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football will be with us at 2 o'clock. 254-662-1660 is the Bush's Chicken text line. You want to weigh in on Zeke and the Cowboys getting a deal done, making it official. He's back at practice. Are you breathing a sigh of relief today? Are you upset at the terms of the contract? There's way too much money. It's going to ruin the financial structure of the team. How are you feeling about Zeke and the Cowboys striking up a deal? 254-662-1660 is the Bush's Chicken text line. It's also the phone lines as well. And when we come back, you'll hear Jerry from this morning on CNBC when the Zeke news was breaking and some of his initial reaction. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Coach Matt Rhule and the Bears back in action this Saturday at McLean Stadium, hosting the Roadrunners of UTSA. 1 p.m. for the Baylor Alumni Tailgate Show. Live from Touchdown Alley, 3 p.m. kickoff with John, JJ, and Ricky. It's Bear Foundation Appreciation Day as Baylor hosts UTSA this Saturday. Here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
Make new friends this summer at Genco FCU. For a limited time, join Genco, open a checking account, and you're eligible for $25 cash. How friendly is that? Refer your friends, and you each receive $25. Refer up to 10 friends? That's $250. Start a great friendship today, only at Genco FCU. Because a friend of yours is a friend of ours. Qualifications and requirements will apply. For details, go to GencoFCU.org. NCUA Equal Housing Lender. Genco.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows.
It's hot and humid. Looks like it'll be that way all summer, so it's time to get those windows replaced. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are space-using aerospace technology called SuperSpacer and have a life expectancy five times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com or call 254-301-7760 and be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Techstar Equipment is your Central Texas home for tractors, mowers, trailers, box blades, shredders, plows, and harvest equipment. In 1964, Hustler introduced the world's first zero-turn radius mower, and today's Hustler will cut your mowing time in half. Featuring the industry's toughest cutting decks, Grasshopper mowers also feature unmatched comfort and a smoother ride. And don't forget to check out the Altos Track mowers at Techstar Equipment. These mowers are made in America and go where no traditional mower has gone before. Plus, they're your home for professional-grade handheld outdoor power equipment from Echo, including blowers, trimmers, weed eaters, and chainsaws. And while you're at Techstar Equipment, be sure to check out the full line of Thunder Creek service trailers and Syntex lawn trailers. And the staff at Techstar Equipment offers easy financing options and a quick approval process. Texan-owned and operated Techstar Equipment, 1209 North Business Highway 6 in Marlin, and at techstarequipment.com.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Waco's newest gym, Halo Athletic Center at 5725 Bagby Avenue, right behind Region 12 and across the highway from Central Texas Marketplace, where motivation, inspiration, and hard work are the driven force. With a state-of-the-art equipment, indoor and outdoor track, locker rooms, showers, yoga, and bar classes by Duality Yoga, body competition, and CBD, all under one roof, where we rise above. Come join us at Halo Athletic Center and be a part of the change. Your change.
With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. That is Sean and UBO. Make a championship decision in business. Partner with Sean Hunt and UBO, UBEO Business Services. Call Sean today, 254-772-1600. UBO Business Services. Back here on ESPN Central Texas and talking Zeke. Have to, right? Can't come out of the gates talking Rangers baseball. This is Zeke Day. This is the day that everybody has been waiting for, right? For him to agree to this new contract. Got done at 4 a.m. Jerry was on the Wall Street beat this morning. Everybody's happy. Everybody's good. No?
I mean, excitement? The games haven't played yet. You know, everyone's happy that the guys are in where they're supposed to be. You know, I think everyone's happy that Zeke is there. I think a lot of people have questions on what they're going to see now that he's there, though. You know, what are the expectations? That's probably the biggest question moving forward.
Well, if you've got those questions, I want to hear from you. 254-662-1660. Give me your good on the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Give me your bad, or your maybe not bad, but you're unsure. Like, I don't know. That's the terms on this deal. Now, I was reading a little bit of a write-up on the contract details, and one of the things that was pointed out is there are some escapes in this contract. Now, I haven't had the time, nor do I think anybody has had the opportunity, even at this point, to really go point by point in the contract and know exactly every little detail of it. But on the surface, some things that have been gathered early on is that there are apparently some pieces in place of that contract to where if Zeke's 32 years old and he's a bit of a beat-up bum at that point, you know, just a beat-up old football player, they're not going to have to sit there and spend tens of millions of dollars on him on his contract.
No,
they're
going
to have ways to get out of it. They're going to have, you know, things like that. So when you see the total money, the $103 million and all that, really all I'm looking at is that guaranteed money and the money that he's going to make guaranteed. Other than that, it really doesn't matter. The $103 million, whatever. But it's that $50 million guaranteed that you're really looking at because they have to pay him that. They don't have to pay him, no, $101 million and $102 million. So they've got those little pieces in place to make sure that they're safe in the long run as well. It will be interesting, though, to see when it comes out in the wash, you know, just how at risk they might be in future years, how this does affect the salary cap. But from the early impressions that I've received, about as happy as you can be, given the problems that could come with trying to swing as many deals as they have this offseason for all the money that they have this offseason, and also knowing that they're not anywhere near done yet. There's still at least two more contracts on the horizon that we will most likely hear about before the end of this year is over. So 4 months to go on Dak and Amari. So we'll hear from Jerry Jones and his almost immediate reaction to the Zeke news in just a moment. But I would like to hear from the Cowboys fans out there, even fans of other teams as well. Zeke back in the mix. No more holdout. Good, bad. How are you feeling about it? 254-662-1660, and let's go to Chris in Waco. You're on ESPN Central Texas.
Hello, how's everyone?
Chilling.
Good, good. I feel good about the contract. Hey, I got a question. if the contract is this year, is it similar to the 6-year deals, similar deals that Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson signed some years back? And question is, I know both of them didn't stay the length of those length of the contracts, but how many years did each of them stay? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Chris in Waco. Good to hear from you, man. I'll need to look up Adrian Peterson's contract to see exactly what he got. You know, he was very banged up already, though. I mean, coming out of college, and I know he burst onto the scene, but I think one difference in AD and Zeke is certainly the stability that you're looking for. You know, as far as, I mean, AD was strong, physical. He could run over a lot of guys, but he was also out quite a bit. The Redskins contracts aren't going to help me at all here. So
no, I mean, ultimately you're looking at the first couple years of the deal. That's really all that matters. They always end up having a out there where the dead money is not very much. I mean, that's, again, you're looking, when you're looking at the Zeke contract, really all you pay attention to is like the first 2-3 years. That's where all the guaranteed money usually is. Zeke is getting the 50. It's $5 more than Todd Gurley. It's a good deal for a guy who's pretty healthy, pretty stinking healthy. I don't think anything health-wise has ever stopped him from missing a game. Now, you know he missed those games when he was suspended, but that's still bogus. Nobody really even knows what he got suspended for, but that's the way of the NFL. It's a great deal. It's a great deal all the way around, just because he's happy now, and when he's happy, he's going to go out there and he's going to perform. He's been performing already since they drafted him. I don't think any Cowboy fan, if you're being honest, should be upset by anything that Zeke Elliott's done on the field. His on-the-field play has been amazing, and I think it's going to continue to be amazing for at least 2 or 3 more good, solid years, and they know that he's going to be used like a workhorse. So I think that as far as money goes and as far as these other longevity of the other running backs, it's really ultimately about, you know, the first 3 years of that deal.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more details on Adrian Peterson's contract. He made $100 million so far in his career, but we know he's not signing big deals now. The problem I'm getting is trying to find the actual guaranteed money that he received. I've got the contracts in front of me. You know, at most he was ever making per year was 11.2. That's the most he ever made per year. That was back in 2013, and he had signed back in 2011 a 6-year, $86 million deal. Then 4 years later, a 3-year, $42 million restructured deal. And then basically his career washed out after that. That was kind of when you started to see those contracts dry up for him, and then subsequently signing for like $3 million with Arizona. And so there's not really a great comparison, I think, to make here, because it was so many years ago that the money's changed significantly and the guaranteed money's changed significantly as well. So at the time, I'm sure, and I can't really recall, that was similar to what Zeke's getting now. Just the difference in the years and the way that it's gone up, you know, obviously gives Zeke a lot more money. But I can't see the guaranteed money on AD's contract, so I'd have to dig a little bit further from that. But
It's not $40 million. We know it's not 45. We know it wasn't 50. You know, so
it's whatever that was 7 years ago.
Exactly, whatever was the top dollar then is what it was. And so I mean, it's really hard to compare because the years are so much difference. It's not like it just happened. Where Gurley just happened, that was $45 million. The only guy who's going to top Zeke is going to be Saquon when he comes up, and at that point, he'll probably be about $52 or $53 million guaranteed, if not a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's a long ways away, seeing as he was just a rookie last year, just drafted last year. Yeah. So we're looking at
3 seasons. Yeah. I mean, he'll want to. I mean, look, Zeke did this with 2 years left on his contract, so most likely that's what Saquon's going to be looking at too. Around the fourth year of his deal, he's going to want an extension. So yeah, about three more years.
I mean, 3 years is a bit of a long time. You know, that's enough breathing room between now and then to not have to worry about it for a while. So 3 years is good. But yeah, if he wants to pull a Zeke and start doing it a little bit earlier, I don't know how well that'll go across the league if all of a sudden running backs take his note and start going, you know what, I'm gonna sit out too.
If they're good, they should.
They could, yeah.
No, I mean, they should. It's not that they could. They should. I mean, their life is not that long in the NFL. They got to get it as soon as they can. And if they're dominating, look how much the Giants use Saquon Barkley. If I was him, I would definitely, if I'm still going at that pace 3-4 years from now, I'm definitely going to hold out and say I need to get paid immediately, because you don't know how long he's going to last.
Yeah, you don't. It's a short shelf life for a lot of guys, and some a bit longer, but they've got some time to not have to worry about that for at least a couple of years, and then they can start to go through their own Zeke-like drama, if that's the direction Saquon goes. Maybe it's completely drama-free, and he just signs a new deal, and it's not any sort of stress. But again, that's 2-3 years down the line. Appreciate the phone call, Chris. But yeah, it's top running back money. Whatever top running back money was 7 years ago, that's what AD was signing for. 5 years ago, whoever that guy was, he was signing for. So Zeke's just reset it. He's reset the bar, and now the next highest paid running back, whoever that is, if it's Saquon or some guy we're not even talking about yet, that guy will bump it up further and so on and so forth. But Zeke is the highest paid running back in NFL history. So all that talk about them not setting the market was complete BS. But that's not the first line of complete BS we heard from the Joneses, and I do realize it's business. There are negotiations, there are tactics, but it's just very funny to me that there was so much emphasis placed on that, and yet here we are, and guess who set the market? The Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones, you'll hear his little appearance coming up. We're going to have to hold on to it, though, because it's just short enough we could probably squeeze it in, but just long enough that it would probably cause a little bit too much of a pileup in this first hour. So I'm going to hold on to that in my back pocket, and we will get to it. But coming up next, outside of the NFL and the Ezekiel Elliott news today, a lot of buzz already about Saturday. You got two massive games featuring teams out of the state of Texas. A&M, of course, taking on number one Clemson. But you've also got Texas. Are they back? Are they not? They're back. They're not. But they could very well be screaming, "We're back," if they were to get a win over LSU on Saturday. It's a huge game between the Tigers and the Longhorns. And Billy Embody, who covers LSU, will join us next as ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the John Morris Show. Jerry Hill, our guest, Baylor Bear Foundation, Baylor Insider. Always appreciate the opportunity to pick the brain, to mine the interesting nuggets from the mind of Jerry Hill. And there was a dance. There was a victory dance on Saturday.
We had some discussion about it. And ultimately it was, we have to give the fans what they want.
Give the people what they want.
And seriously, I had a couple people ask me about it, you know, on the way into the stadium, like, are we going to see a dance tonight? And there was some talk about, you know, maybe changing it up or something. And I think David Kay's actual words were, you need to do what you do. So that's what I did. I didn't change it up much. That's what you get. And, John, last time I checked, I think it was...
The John Morris Show, weekdays at 9 a.m. here on ESPN Central Texas.
One Hot Rodeo is here to take you on a wild ride. See professional bull riders, high-speed team events, barrel racing, the littlest mutton-busting buckaroos, and much more. Plus, you won't want to miss one hot bullfight coming to the heart of Texas Fair and Rodeo for the first time ever. Get ready for the rowdiest rodeo in town at the Extraco Event Center October 5th and 6th and the 8th through the 12th. Get your tickets at hotfair.com or at the Extraco Event Center box office. We'll see you there.
There are a lot of SUVs on the road today, but many SUVs lack in sport and utility, not Ford SUVs.
Don't let me go.
Because Ford SUVs offer intelligent four-wheel drive, not to mention ruggedness and versatility.
Your first name is free. Last name is down.
Which means you can drive it like an SUV is meant to be driven. And you can drive it like a Ford.
Join Balcones Distilling for their first annual Bourbon Fest event on Saturday, September 14th from 4 to 8 p.m. The event will feature four bourbons available for tasting and sale. Enjoy live music, local food trucks, mini distillery tours, specialty cocktails, lawn games, and shop their local Maker's Market vendor sale. Tickets range from $5 to $15 and can be purchased by visiting balconesdistilling.com/events. Can't make the event? Check out their tasting room and gift shop open Tuesday through Sunday. Balcones Distilling, always distilled to appreciate.
For more than 90 years, you've entrusted our brand to guide you toward living the lifestyle you've always dreamed of. Now you can entrust Better Homes and Garden real estate professionals with your needs and help you find the home of your dreams and throughout every stage of your home buying or selling process. With your life in mind, there's Better Homes and Garden Real Estate. Edwards & Associates. Expect better at BetterWaco.com. That's BetterWaco.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Steven Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update brought to you by Echo and Waco. Brunch Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 2 with $2 mimosas in downtown Waco. The Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott have come to an agreement on a contract extension. It's a 6-year, $90 million extension. $50 million of that is in guaranteed money. Elliott is expected to be back with the team today as they prepare for the Giants on Sunday. Rangers close out their series with the Yankees in New York tonight. Lance Lynn gets the start for Texas. Chad Green is on the hill for the Yankees. First pitch at 5:30 and you hear the game on ESPN Central Texas. Astros outfielder George Springer had to be carted off the field after crashing into a wall trying to make a catch on Tuesday night against the Brewers. Manager AJ Hinch said Springer is doing okay given the circumstances, and he's currently listed as day-to-day. Astros have the day off. They'll begin a series with the Mariners tomorrow night.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. Welcome back to Unnecessary Roughness. A Turbo Boost solid-state hard drive can speed up your computer. Drop by Prompt Technology in Waco today to learn more. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, there are a couple of huge college football games coming up this weekend that feature teams from the state of Texas and that feature ranked teams from the state of Texas. The number 12 Texas A&M Aggies will be on the road in South Carolina, but down in Austin on Saturday night, it'll be a pretty big affair as number 6 LSU comes rolling into town. So number 6 versus number 9 in Austin on Saturday evening. LSU won their opener over Georgia Southern 55-3. And joining us now on the phone lines, covering LSU for Go247.com is Billy Embody, who you can find on Twitter at Billy Embody. And Billy, we certainly appreciate the time this afternoon. You know, we don't see, or we haven't seen in most recent years, a lot of fun offense and big points scored from LSU, a team that's mostly made their bread and butter winning defensively and run game and whatnot. But 55-3, and I understand the opponent, but what stood out to you about the opener and what they were able to do that maybe was a little bit different or something that was enough of a wrinkle that caught your interest from game number one?
I think it was just the tempo that they played with. They ran, I believe, 76 plays offensively, which in a blowout win, I thought was a little lower than what they were probably aiming for in terms of a regular season, legitimate matchup like they'll try to do on Saturday night. But the tempo they rolled with, the way they spread the ball around the different receivers, and, you know, I was talking with a player after the game, and he said, you know, we really didn't run that many plays. We probably ran four or so passing concepts that just looked differently in each formation. So there's a lot of things that they have not unveiled, I guess you could say, with this new offense heading into the game on Saturday against Texas. And defensively, I thought they were really sound. They were physical. They imposed their will right away, and they didn't really give Georgia Southern much of a chance. So just a total dominating performance, and a performance that we really haven't seen from any LSU teams in the past. They've usually played down to the level of their competition.
So do you think with this new offense, this new up-tempo offense that they're running, that this is something that, not necessarily the 50-something points, but that you can consistently see them being pretty effective on offense, or was it more of a product of the opponent?
No, I think they're going to be pretty productive. I mean, they've got three legitimate NFL caliber wide receivers, two former five-star prospects in Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall. They've got a really loaded backfield. They've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who rushed for 700 yards as a backup last year. And then they've got two of the top six running backs in last year's recruiting class on campus, and they look good running the football as well in their debuts on Saturday night. So if the offensive line can hold up, Joe Burrow is a legit quarterback. I saw he popped into the Heisman Trophy odds over the weekend after his showing. I don't think he's going to necessarily win a Heisman Trophy or anything like that, but he's going to put himself into the conversation with, you know, being one of the best quarterbacks in the country and getting his due. And I think the offense and the skill positions he has around him will have a lot to do with that.
Billy Embody, Go247, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. LSU's played in a lot of big games over the years. Every year they've got a couple that are huge. And Texas has two to an extent. But do you get that feeling of, oh, this is a big one amongst the LSU faithful? Or I guess there's got to be a little something extra to it, right, Billy? But just how much extra is there to this particular matchup for them?
There's all the extra in this one. I mean, you go back to when Ed Ogeron and Tom Herman were hired, and it was an LSU-Texas battle for Tom Herman, and then LSU ends up going with Ed Ogeron and rushes him to the podium. So those two were always tied together. If you look at the two secondaries, and kind of defenses in general and really across the board. LSU and Texas, a lot of their key starters were recruited by both of the staff. Caden Stearns was a one-time LSU commit. LSU landed Caleb on Chasson on National Signing Day and beat out Texas for him. Kerry Vincent Jr., who's a starting nickel, was considering Texas. Grant Delpit's a Houston kid. Malcolm Roach is from Baton Rouge. Tyrion Davis Price, who's one of the freshman running backs, took an official visit to Texas. So, I mean, there are just tons and tons of storylines here, connections. Dave Aranda and Todd Orlando have worked together. Tom Herman has worked with Dave Aranda. It just the connections go far, far deeper than anything the fans can really talk about in terms of a top 10 matchup, and they're excited for that. But, I mean, Caleb on Chasson beat out Sam Ellinger in the Texas State Championship game back when they were high school kids. You don't think Sam wants a little extra payback for doing that. I mean, these guys know each other. A lot of them were national recruits, and it's just going to live up to the billing, I believe.
Billy, going back to the tempo conversation for a minute, has the defense talked much about how that kind of changes their time on the field? And I know you mentioned they didn't get as many plays in as they wanted to in game one, but just time of possession and that type of thing and how that affects the defense.
Yeah, I think for LSU, with the amount of athletes that they have, I mean, they're too deep at middle linebacker is incredible. Really guys that are highly touted. I think they have three of the four were former five-star prospects. They've got Caleb on the edge. They've got depth on the defensive line. They've got talent and experience at the safety position. They've got two of the best corners in the country out there, and then some talented freshmen behind them. So kind of depth is a concern there. But when you look at this defense, they've got depth. They've got experience, and look, if the offense takes a little bit less time to eat up clock or stay on the field, I think the defense is going to be okay with that because they can rotate a little bit more this year, and they have different formations. And it seems like in I believe year four of the Dave Aranda, era in Baton Rouge, that he's going to be able to do some different things that he hasn't before because of the athletes they've assembled.
Do you expect to see any kind of extra wrinkle on the defensive side of the ball, especially with Sam Ellinger as the quarterback for Texas, who Ed O just recently called a Tim Tebow-esque type guy? Do you expect to see any difference on the LSU defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something, and it's what that looks like. We'll kind of find out on Saturday night, of course. But Caleb on Chasson is going to be coming off the edge after him, but I think they'll be trying to do some things to certainly kind of keep him penned in as a runner. I think Texas is going to rely on him a good bit with their running back situation right now being pretty dire in terms of depth. So they're going to have to find a way to contain him. Maybe that's a spy. Maybe that's doing different stunts so that, stepping up into the pocket might not be an option depending on how that looks. So they're going to do some different things. They ran one defense on Saturday night. It worked okay against Georgia Southern, holding them to under 100 yards, and it's a different story this weekend in Austin, but I think they're for sure going to be a little bit more exotic.
Billy Embody, Go 24/7 journalist here on ESPN Central Texas. How much do you think it matters that this game is in Austin as opposed to Baton Rouge?
You know, I have a kind of a weird take on this game. Maybe it's weird, but I think both road teams are going to win in this series. I think Joe Burrow being a veteran quarterback, and Sam is too, but I think he's got the offensive weapons, a little bit more firepower, a little bit more depth, and then the same goes on the defensive side of the ball for LSU this year. I think the road team comes out with it this year, and then next year Sam Ellinger can lead the Longhorns in and maybe get a win in Tiger Stadium. So I think both road teams are kind of going to be in a more advantageous situation to come away with the wins here, just because both years the kind of experience and the depth and all of those things will kind of be flipped when you look at the games.
Are you surprised, Billy, that Joe Burrow is kind of taking on such a role as a leader and the voice and kind of in the identity of that program, given that he got there late and transferred in, had to battle for that job, that he's emerged so much in that position?
Yeah, he's been a really nice surprise for LSU. I mean, nobody really knew what to expect coming in. He was being talked up a lot, but you didn't really know. And now that he's been here a year and he's stepped into that position, I mean, he's just owned it and been a huge leader for LSU. And I mean, he's a fan favorite. He's a hard worker. He's everything they sold him to be, you know, going into last year, and he's really going to take another step forward this year with the offense kind of more tailored to him.
The middle linebacker and the left tackle for the Tigers did not play last week. Are they going to play this week?
Yep, they're good to go. Sadiq Charles and Michael Divinity are playing.
Billy, anything we're leaving out here as far as storylines go or matchups that you think are of high importance, or is that pretty much it? Is the tale of, you know, the history between these two programs, all the different crossover connections, and obviously, you know, some of the stars' names, but is there another aspect of this game that maybe not enough people are talking about?
I think Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay, Brennan Eagles versus the LSU secondary, Kerry Vincent, Derek Stingley Jr., and Christian Fulton. Stingley is the highest rated corner ever on 24/7 Sports, and Christian Fulton's a projected first round draft pick. So how those guys match up will be huge, because if Sam can certainly find some openings and find some seams, that could open up the running game a little bit and help Texas get a little bit more balanced, because I think this is a game right now that Sam Ehlinger is going to have to win, kind of put Texas on his shoulders and, you know, try and take it. So if the secondary matchup with LSU and Texas is critical.
Well, this is going to be a really fun game. It's going to be an awesome game, and Saturday should be pretty epic, not only with that matchup, but also A&M and Clemson as well. Billy Embody, if you need more LSU heading into Saturday and more on the matchup with Texas, then check out Go247, GEAUX247, Go247. The LSU Tigers beat, covered by Billy Embody, at Billy Embody on Twitter, and here with us. Billy, thanks so much, man. Know it's a busy week with this game on the horizon. Enjoy it, and thanks for your time as always.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. There's Billy Embody, Go247. And they got to do the little Cajun thing, of course, GEAUX 24/7, which I like that. I like when they do that little.
Yeah, that's unique. It's unique, and I like how they do that, and it's going to be a good game, man. It's very exciting. I can't wait to see it.
So he's calling the road teams winning in this series over the next 2 years. Certainly the running back situation at Texas is about as dire as it gets right now. The only way it could really be worse is if you had nobody that was available to run the football for you. But after we learned about the injury to the freshman Jordan Whittington, who I was going to ask him about, but he addressed the lack of depth they have there. And I was also going to address it in this way. You know, Billy, covering a team like LSU, knows just as well as UT fans do about covering the blue chips and all the hype that comes with that, and they get their fair share of them just like Texas does. You know, but oftentimes, you know, guys get talked about a little bit too much and a little overhyped, and I feel like we're not going to really know until he returns in a few weeks whether or not Jordan Whittington was being prepared to be completely overhyped as a freshman, not his career, but as a freshman, or if he was going to live up to that billing. We're not going to see it for like 6 weeks, mm-hmm. if he even plays this year, because right. there's always a setback, or they could just say, screw this, shut it mm-hmm. down, we've already lost two games. But I am curious to see how much maybe he would have had an impact on this game, given his athleticism and the different look they would have had at running back, as opposed to what you're going to have with, yes, Keontae Ingram, who's great, but hasn't ever just taken over a game, and has always been on a bit of a pitch count throughout his first year and some change now. And then you got guys who are at different positions a week ago.
Right.
So that's your running back spot right now. Sam Ehlinger is going to be heavily involved. I'd expect a much heavier load for Keontae, but I think he may be onto something that, you know, Sam Ehlinger might have to win this game with his arm, and I think he's capable of doing that, but I also think that's the best way to try and beat Texas as well, is to have Sam Ehlinger beat you with his arm. So it sets up for a very unique matchup with the LSU's defense being as good as it is. 12:45 is the time here. We'll take a break and come back with more. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the Matt Mosley Show.
One of the great defensive minds in college football joining us on the hotline right now. It is Phil Snow, Baylor defensive coordinator. You guys have put in major emphasis, not that you haven't always, but the takeaways, that's an area you want to impact quarterback. You want to get to the quarterback this year, and you got to win those the turnover battle. What have you done to even try to create more of an impact?
Well, when Joey McGuire came over on defense, I said, and Joey's got a lot of passion for what he does, and I said, Joey, I'm going to put you in charge of turnovers. And he's been on a mission for 6 months. We had 47 interceptions in camp. So the mentality is starting to go get the football. And really the key is the ball, right? And I think Joe has really helped us with that. He's brainwashed these kids over the last 6 months. So it's been fun to watch in camp us going after the football in a way that we haven't done since we've been here.
It's the Matt Mosley Show on ESPN Central Texas.
If you're ready to eliminate your pain and restore your body's function, improve your quality of life, you need to go see my good friends at Bella Therapies in Harker Heights. Bella Therapies, that's a physical therapy clinic to visit when you're tired of living in pain. They're conducting a research study in spinal stenosis, been going on for a little bit. If you think you may qualify for the study, all you got to do is reach out to their offices. And I'm not sure if you've heard, but the state of Texas recently granted direct access, which means you don't need a referral to get physical therapy anymore. They can see you without you seeing your primary care doctor first, which means less hassle and one less copay. Some of the services they provide but are not limited to: orthopedic therapy, pediatric therapy, women's health, sports rehab, pre- and post-surgical, dry needling, and a whole lot more. If you need some more information on this, all you got to do is check out their website today. It's really easy, bellatherapies.com, Bella, B-E-L-L-A-H, therapies.com, or you can give them a call, 254-394-2710.
Johnny Steaks and Barbecue in Salado proudly presents Jason Bowen and the Stragglers in concert with special guest Jared Morris Friday, September 27th.
Cheap bourbon, whiskey, and pearl snap shirts are two things that stay the same. So when the world starts spinning and your head hurts, there's a cheap bourbon, whiskey, and pearl snap shirt.
Gates open at 6 p.m. Buy your tickets for Jason Bowen and the Stragglers online at johnnysteaksandbbq.com. Heights Lumber in Harker Heights, Small Cakes in Temple. $10 in advance, $15 the day of the show. Children age 12 and under are free, and lawn chairs are welcome. Don't miss Jason Bowen and the Stragglers.
The sun is shining somewhere in Texas.
With special guest Jared Morris at Johnny Steaks and Barbecue in Salado, Friday, September 27th. And mark your calendars for these concerts coming up. Flatland Cavalry, Friday, October the 11th, and Randall King, Saturday, October 26th.
Hey, Central Texas. Looking for a new car, truck, or SUV? Then we've got you covered at the Car Barn on Franklin Avenue in Waco. We're overstocked with inventory, and now's the time to buy. Low down payments and easy, no-hassle financing with a warranty available with every purchase. Visit our website at carbarnwaco.com to view our inventory and apply online. We make driving easy. Stop by and see us at Car Barn located at 2020 Franklin Avenue in Waco, or give us a call at 254-300-4491. You'll be glad you did.
Miller Lite is brewed for every Cowboys fan who knows Miller Lite has been the only beer of the Cowboys since day one. Because when it comes to your team and your beer, you never compromise. That's why we brew Miller Lite with great taste and only 96 calories. Miller Lite. Hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2018 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
You know, when it comes to finances, we all want to earn more and pay less. Well, at Educators Credit Union, their goal is to help their members do just that by offering low rates on loans and competitive rates on savings. Come see how ECU can help you make the most of your money. Become a member today. Stop by any one of their five Waco area locations. Call 800-596-5460 or find them online at edcu.com. They look forward to serving you. Federally insured by NCUA.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, it's 10 till 1. Hopefully you're enjoying your day. I think some people are having a hard time getting adjusted this week. For those of you that had Monday off, had a little kind of weird four-day week that doesn't start till Tuesday, not us, though.
Nope.
We were here. Our week is quite normal, but for some of you, maybe kind of like still getting that extra day of sleep out of your eyes, and it's only day number two back at work. But hey, you only got 2 days to go.
That's true.
You're almost through.
That's right. The week's almost over, and it's almost time to get back out to McLean Stadium for some more football.
Well, and I would expect people would have no problem just zooming through the day with that Zeke news earlier, at least for Cowboys fans. Pretty huge that his contract is now done. Had the feeling as of yesterday that that was going to be the case. And now it's just on to the official press conference, which should be sometime tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure when Jerry is expected to return from New York. I would imagine it would be sometime tonight or this afternoon, what have you. But regardless, whenever he makes his way back to Texas in the next day or two, you can best believe they'll be posted up at the Star in Frisco in one of their shiny press conference rooms, and we'll have the whole team there to talk about Zeke and his heart and what a great guy he is, and that it never got contentious, and that, you know, everything was all good.
Right, yeah.
Everything like that.
It's all the typical speak. But all that matters now is getting out on that practice field and getting it done on the field, because now that's the biggest thing. That's what most people are concerned about right now. You know, when do you give a running back that kind of money and he goes and wins you a Super Bowl? Cowboy fans are starving to see their team back in the Super Bowl. So not saying that Zeke is the only reason they're going to be there, but I've said it multiple times that without him, they didn't have a chance. Now that he's in the fold, I believe that they have an opportunity.
Well, he had signed, and 15 minutes later, I'd already seen the argument breaking out over how many carries he would see on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because you pay him all that money, you want to see him out there and playing a lot. You want him to go out there and earn it. Like, we got a text earlier on the Bush's Chicken text line from Manuel. He said, with that kind of money, Zeke better take him to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the expectation that you put on yourself when you get that kind of money. Not saying you shouldn't. You should go out there and get every dime you can, but I mean, that's the expectations. Now the bar is raised, and so now it's on Zeke to carry the load. And then when Dak signs his deal, it's going to be on him to carry the load as well. And, you know, D-Law signed his deal earlier this offseason. It's on him to carry the load. I mean, it is what it is. When Byron Jones, I mean, it's the pecking order. It's just how it rolls.
Yep, that's the way that it goes. I say this whole team is a combined unit now, because, you know, Dak and Amari still have to get done, but go ahead and lump them in too. This whole team that was put together for the future, you know, many years ago, but really this summer.
Right.
As far as this is our team for the next 5 years, it's on all their shoulders, because if they don't go to a Super Bowl, oh boy, if they don't go to one,
right,
then it's a project fail. One of the great fails in Cowboys history,
right?
I would say,
yeah, big time.
So
a lot of pressure.
If they go to a Super Bowl and don't win, still a blow. Maybe not as certainly not as bad as not ever getting to one, but no, you damn well better believe they got to win a Super Bowl with this team they put together.
I mean, when you sign on the dotted line for the money that these guys are signing for, yeah, that pressure is on you 100%. And right now it's not really on Dak, because Dak hasn't signed his deal. Coop hasn't signed his deal. But Zeke, he better lead the league in rushing. He better be the number one rusher. I mean, that's what every Cowboy fan's going to say. You know, when the first time he puts the ball on the ground, if he puts the ball on the ground, gave him all that money and he's fumbling.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You're going to hear everything. I mean, the scrutiny raises when the dollar amount goes up. I mean, it's just, that's human nature.
Don't let him struggle out of the gates and Tony Pollard have good games.
Right. He's not in shape. Should have been with his guys.
Pollard's better than Zeke.
Exactly.
No, that's going to happen. But no, this team, the way that it's put together, when you got this many guys under the size of contracts that they are, and I know some of them are team friendly. Well, we got Lyle on a deal. I get that, but the point is, you still inked him to a long-term extension worth a lot of money. So it may not be number one money across the board, but nearly every one of these dadgum guys is top three, and Zeke's one.
Top five at the latest, at
Dak
the least.
Dak will be one or two, and we got to talk about Dak, because now he's been affected as of just news just last night. The new contract signed by Mr. Goff out there in L.A. So we'll have that for you coming up in Cover 3, NFL News and Notes, in about 5 minutes from now. But, yeah, this team had – this ain't one of those, like, you signed a couple guys and you may or may not go – you better go to a Super Bowl with this roster, because everything has fallen into place. Everything has fallen into place for you. So we'll continue on with that, but I do want to mention there are a bunch of actually big birthdays today, and if I don't mention this one in particular, the Hive will come after me. Beyonce celebrating a birthday – today, the Houstonian is only 38 years old. That's how long we've been seeing Beyonce. That
since a child.
We're in 2019 and she's 38.
So, how old's Jay-Z? Isn't he like 50?
He's way older than her, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah, that's actually not, you know, we do see far more egregious. We see like
and
40s,
no.
But he was born in 69, so he's 50.
Yeah,
50 on the, or he'll be 50 in December.
I'm not mad at him, because if you look at him and you look at him up close, I mean, I don't ever shave. I don't. I always let my barber do that, but he don't never have to shave. I mean, he barely even has a mustache. Like, I don't know what he does.
He's lucky as heck. I know that much.
Yeah, no, he does. He's got that
He's
got that Pharrell type face where he didn't have to worry about ever shaving. Those cats never have to shave.
I don't have the worst situation, because there's dudes that have like thick, you know, they can grow a beard overnight and whatnot, but if you could just wake up one day and still be babyface and not have to shave, that'd be great.
Jersey doesn't even have a I swear he didn't even have a full mustache.
Yeah.
He just has like just hair on his face. So yeah, he's blessed.
Yes, Mike Piazza also celebrating a birthday on this day. And Tom Watson, a golfer, celebrating a birthday, 8-time major winner, 5-time British Open champion. He was born on this day in 1949. Piazza on this day in 1968. So they joined with Beyonce. Also on this day, Steve Irwin passes away after being stung by a stingray, 44 years old. But his kids are going strong, man. They've continued the family empire, and they're doing well for themselves, you know, keeping the torch going. But, yeah, that was a sad story, man. He was a very entertaining guy, and just to go out that way, just so bizarre.
I mean, he goes out the way he would have it no other way.
Yeah.
That's the way that dude was. He was always just weird to me just because he would always do that stuff, but it was fascinating. I'm just glad he did it and not me.
Yeah, also passing away on this day back in 2011, Leroy Selman, great Oklahoma Sooner, great football player, Tampa Bay Buck, and also Joan Rivers, late-night talk show host, stand-up comic from complications after a procedure on her vocal cords at age 81. That was back in 2014. So pretty busy day in that regard on this day, but it's a busy day overall in sports. So we'll continue it on into hour number two. NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3 is next, and this is ESPN Central Texas.
Join us for the Baylor Coaches Show this Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. live from Rudy's on the Circle in Waco with the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
Join us Thursday. We'll hear from Baylor's associate head football coach, Joey McGuire, and Baylor women's basketball coach, Kim Balky.
That's the Baylor Coaches Show this Thursday live from Rudy's and right here on your home for Baylor athletics, ESPN Central Texas.
Socorro Family Ford is truly a family dealership.
We work here every day, so you can always talk to family. And we're proud to serve the needs of Central Texas families like yours.
Come see us for your next vehicle. We'll make it easy for you to get the new Ford you want. Choose from over 150 cars, trucks, and SUVs here on our lot. And if we don't have exactly what you're looking for, let us know. We'll get it for you.
Socorro is not just a name on a building. It's who we are.
That's why we say, at Socorro Family Ford, our family makes the difference.
Have you seen the bleachers and grandstands at Baylor University, McLennan Community College, throughout Waco, Midway, Riesel, Mart, Marlin, La Vega, and Connolly ISD? They all have one name in common, Sturdy Steel, an industry-leading fabricator of engineered seating solutions. There's no substitute for knowledge and experience. Sturdy Steel has both, with more combined experience in the business than anyone else in the industry. Sturdy Steel is quality from the ground up. We don't just build grandstands and bleachers, we build trust. SturdySteel.com.
TaylorMade Remodeling Services is the one to call for all jobs big or small. Want to talk to a professional about custom-built home for your family? Call TaylorMade Remodeling. Need to upgrade the kitchen or your bath in your house? Call TaylorMade Remodeling. Your carpet or tile needs replacing? Call TaylorMade Remodeling. Locally owned and operated since 2011, they have served the Central Texas area with honest work at affordable prices. Let them handle your honeydews. Call Danny at TaylorMade Remodeling Services today, 722-2471. That's 722-2471.
There are times when you need a good doctor. And there are times when you need a good lawyer. But sometimes what you need more than anything else is a really good mechanic.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
Meet Jesse Britt, head man at Jesse Britt Automotive in Waco. He's not only a great mechanic, but he's also a really nice guy who'll tell you the honest truth about what's wrong with your car, what it's going to cost you to fix it, and how long it's going to take.
Let's take a look.
Any make, any model, Jesse Britt Automotive is your one-stop shop for automotive service. Air conditioning, transmission, brakes, tune-ups and tires, but alignments are their specialty, including 24 and 28-inch wheel alignments. Ask about Jesse Britt's famous $44.99 wheel alignment special. Just $44.99 for any wheel up to 22 inches. Jesse Britt Automotive, 828 North Valley Mills Drive. Let Jesse get you back on the road.
You're good to go.
The challenge is to fight the hardest battle until you reach your destination. Everybody's headed to Dallas for the 2019 State Fair Classic as two of the greatest teams in college football come together. The Prairie View A&M Panthers against the Grambling State Tigers. 4 p.m. kickoff. This is the game that decides it all. Coach Fobbs, can Prairie View do it?
Wait, it's a big gap between us and the game.
And Coach Dooley, what's Grambling gonna do? Then at halftime, get ready for the Battle of the Bands.
Hit me!
Band.
Preview Marching Storm takes on Gremlins world-famed Tigers Marching Band. It's an entire day of entertainment, all for one ticket. See Cash Money R&B artist Jacquees on the Chevy stage. Then it's the post-game concert with Cameo. It's all happening in the Dallas Cotton Bowl, Saturday, September 28th. One ticket gets you into the game, concert, and more. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com and Floyd's Audio, the 2019 State Fair Classic.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco. The 1 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Chapman's Bail Bonds.
Time now for a slight break in action.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome into hour number two of Unnecessary Roughness here on ESPN Central Texas. The Bush's Chicken text line's open at 254-662-1660. We've got back-to-back-to-back guests in this hour, so we're going to keep it very brisk. But while the phone lines won't be open, if you want to chime in on Zeke, your feelings, good, bad, concerns, positivity, whatever, on Zeke, 254-662-1660. You can keep those thoughts rolling in. Or if you got a thought on Baylor on Saturday, high school football games this weekend, the Bush's Chicken text line open throughout the show, and we'll get to those a little bit later on this hour. But right now, let's get into some NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3.
First down, L.A. going for the whole thing. Cooks. Touchdown, L.A. Play action to him. Might have gotten away with a false start there. They didn't throw the flag. Now in the end zone.
It's time for Cover 3 with your boy Q. Brought to you by Centex Irrigation, Colby Carpenter, Turner Behringer Real Estate, and Bella Therapies.
Right there, you heard Rams quarterback Jared Goff. Three of his five touchdowns he threw, it was week five against the Vikings. He ended 2018 with 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 4,688 yards, and a loss in the Super Bowl to the Patriots as the Rams went 13-3 in 2018. And last night, while everyone was on Zeke watch, Jared Goff secured the bag from the Rams. And as far as I'm concerned, they're very much in the same position as the Cowboys. Goff received a four-year extension, $134 million, $110 million in guarantees. Again, four-year extension, $134 million is the total worth of the contract, $110 in guarantees, and he has 2 years on his deal still, just similar to Zeke, and he's going to be owed basically $161 million when it's all said and done. And I say the Rams and Cowboys are similar because all the guys that they're paying and all the big-time money that they're paying. You look at the Cowboys, D-Law got paid, Zeke Elliott got paid, Dak and Coop, like we mentioned, is going to get paid. They've already paid Jalen Smith and Lyle Collins. The Rams, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, Brandon Cooks, Jared Goff, they all got paid big money. Oh, yeah, by the way, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, they're up next. So these two teams are very, very similar. They're both getting it done, and they're both teams that have legit shots at making Super Bowl runs. So they're all in on trying to get these teams where they need to go. And so I look at it like, okay, well, if one team could do it, why can't the other team? And so Dak, he's right there on the verge of getting a deal we expect, and it's going to be something very similar to what we're seeing from Jared Goff. I'm not going to say it's going to be 100% the same deal. Not going to say it's going to be guaranteed to be more, but it's going to be right there in the same ballpark. 4 years, $134 million, $110 in guarantees, and yeah, there you go. That's something that you could look at if you're a Cowboy fan and say, this is what the quarterback of my favorite team is probably going to get, something very close to this.
Well, I think most people are fine with Ezekiel Elliott being the highest paid running back in the NFL. I'd be curious to know how many people would be fine with him, him being Dak Prescott, signing the biggest quarterback deal in the NFL. Because now you're in a position where there are three guys that are lumped near the top of guaranteed money. And in the case of number three overall, that would be Russell Wilson, who had $107 million guaranteed on his contract. Now, the guarantee also gets funky because there's like the guaranteed at signing, and then there's right. The guarantee later and all of that. But for practical purposes,
just total guarantees,
$107 million for Russell Wilson. Matt Ryan behind him at 100. So Russell Wilson bumped that up $7 million. Carson Wentz, a little less than a million more than Russell Wilson, 107.9. And then Jared Goff last night, 110. So Dak Prescott will, you would have to think, be $100 million and over.
Oh, yeah.
And
easily.
Somewhere in that 107, 110 and perhaps they go higher and they go 110 and 125,000 just to make him the highest paid, highest guaranteed as well. But yeah, that's a lot of money. And I like I said, I would be curious to know how many are cool with Zeke being the number one running back or this guy being the number one in his position, but how many people are cool with Dak being paid the most of any other quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, I had this discussion earlier with Paul, and I was thinking, okay, well, if you're a Cowboy fan, who would you rather have as your quarterback? Would you rather have Jared Goff or Dak Prescott?
Mm-hmm.
I like Jared Goff a lot. Matter of fact, I was banging the table that the Cowboys, if they didn't have a quarterback, they should have gone out and gone after him. But the Rams obviously beat him to the punch by going and grabbing him number one overall. I think that Dak Prescott's right up there. All he's done since he's been in the league is win games.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how he got it done, all he's done is won games. And Jared Goff, remember at one time, everyone thought he was a bust. Now, granted, that was with Jeff Fisher, but everyone was talking about, oh, this guy's going to be a bust. He's out of the league in a couple years. Now he's signing the richest quarterback deal. Now, it won't be the richest deal for very long, but, you know, the Rams were able to get the highest paid quarterback. At one point until last night, they had the highest paid running back. You know, I mean, they're doing it. At one point until Khalil Mack outdid him, Aaron Donald was the highest paid defensive player. I mean, they're doing it. You know, they're doing it, so the Cowboys have a, you know, hey, it's your turn. You're up next.
Yeah, basically, it is the Cowboys' turn because they're going to have the highest paid or close to it at pretty much every key position.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Dak's going to be looking at $110 or so million dollars guaranteed. And unlike Zeke, his will probably fall relatively soon. I don't know what all quarterbacks are coming up soon, but I don't think anybody's expecting Jared Goff to get extended last night for $110 million guaranteed.
No.
I don't even know where that came from. But
you think about it, he got drafted the same time Carson Wentz did, and Carson Wentz signed his quite a while ago.
Yeah, so I guess it's just the timing of it. But, yeah, that was relatively out of nowhere.
Yeah, we weren't talking about it, that's for
sure. No, maybe the Rams beat was, but, you know, obviously don't follow them too close. So good for Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. They obviously believe he's the real deal and the guy that'll be leading the charge for the next several years. So they've got their guy, and now let's see how much better he can get.
And you want to talk about pressure. I mean, think about this. There's not a lot of teams that go to the Super Bowl, lose, and come back and are just as good the next year. Well, he went to the Super Bowl, and he stunk it up.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely stunk it up. So now, not only is he expected to get him back there, now he's expected to get him back there quick, fast, and in a hurry since he got this deal. Again, those kind of deals make all kind of pressure. I mean, you see all the scrutiny Todd Gurley's under right now and all the, well, he wasn't there in the biggest game, and they gave him all this money, and now they regret it. Well, now it's just going to be even more for Jared Goff.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the pressure for most starting quarterbacks, right? Especially if you've sniffed it and you've been there. So now it's like you've checked off the I've been there. Now it's like you got to go win one, right?
Right.
So
yep.
Dak still needs to check that I've been there. And there's others that do too. But once you do get there, regardless of the results, you know, it's funny.
It's,
you win, you're expected to win another one.
Right.
You lose, you're expected to get back and win one. You know, you don't ever get there, you suck. But
right.
For Jared Goff, yeah, absolutely. That's a defining moment so far in his career. But this is a nice way to get over it in the time being. But you certainly can't rest on just this. It's good for right now, but you got to go out and actually win games now.
No doubt about it. And another contract that's coming up that may affect the Cowboys as well is Julio Jones. Owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank, he's expected to get the deal done this week. He said he expects the deal done this week. So if Julio Jones gets another deal, and I know what you're about to say, he seems like he gets a new deal every single year because he does. And then that's going to affect Amari Cooper.
What the hell is Julio Jones' problem?
Well,
seriously.
Remember last year they just gave him a bump. Remember they didn't give him
just that?
What is a bump?
Something
that we've never got. Hey, man, give me a bump in my pay. All right, Q, we got you. No, but that's what they did. They gave him a bump last year, and they said, we'll address the contract. We'll give you an extension. We'll give that to you next year. And so they're expecting that to get done this year. And I don't know what kind of money that's going to be, but Julio Jones is one of the best wide receivers in the league. So you could expect it to be right up there at the top with the hell's his name? Mike Thomas. I was about to say, he just signed his contract. How you forget his name already? Mike Thomas, you're expecting it to be big-time money like D-Hop has. You expect it to be AB money. I mean, you're expecting it to be real big-time money. So that's going to affect Amari Cooper once that deal comes around.
I'd just be glad when Julio Jones gets a contract that he will just shut up about and not try to redo every single offseason as he has now for the last 2 to 3 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is ridiculous.
It's just his name comes up all the time when it comes to contracts.
Yeah, it does. And it's like, dude, you just got one. So I don't know. It must be nice in his position to have the power
mm-hmm.
to know that when you sign it, it's not even really going to be that because you'll just complain about it and get more.
Right.
It's
coming down the pipeline apparently this week.
Yeah, well.
So just look out for that.
Can't wait for him to renegotiate next year, next summer, because some other dude's going to, you know, Amari Cooper is going to sign some big deal and he's going to be like, well, I'm way better than Amari Cooper. I should get even more than I got last year. It just feels like that with Julio Jones.
It does feel like his name and his contract comes up so stinking much. TJ chimed in and said, Dak isn't worth three to top five money. Zeke is worth the cash. Dak can manage well, but not a typical quarterback like a Romo was.
You know what Colin Cowherd? I don't follow him on Twitter. I don't listen to his show. I see clips here and there.
Yeah, me too.
But I saw a couple of tweets from him, and I know that he trolls a lot. He's very skip in that way, especially all those guys when it comes to the Cowboys, you know, but... He was talking, his whole angle now is that Zeke's not even the man of the team. It's that Dak's the man. That Dak is the guy. And so this isn't even Zeke's team. And
yeah, I hope you turned it off after that. That's
oh, no. It was a tweet.
It was a tweet.
Yeah, I just saw it. Yeah. Somebody retweeted it into my timeline. I certainly don't follow him. I'm entertained at times by him, but, you know, that was just the next angle to take to try and cause some dissension or whatever. And no,
he's really good at that. And it's funny because I like him. I like his delivery and everything, but he starts doing what he just did.
Starts trolling too much for me.
Yeah.
No, he's very smart. He's got great opinions, but sometimes the opinions go so far out of bounds. You're just like, dude, come on, really? Like, we know you're smarter than that.
Exactly. My final little note real quick. Melvin Gordon does not look like he's going to get traded because the Chargers want a first and a fifth for him.
Okay.
Apparently. I love the fact that apparently only one team has inquired about him, and again, they wanted a first and a fifth, and we all know that that's not going to happen. On top of that, Melvin Gordon's looking for $13 million a year as far as a pay, and you know the Chargers are willing to give up 10, but that's not going to happen. So I don't see him going anywhere. I don't know if he's dug his heels in where he's not going to just play. He's just going to sit out all year. That's on him. Who knows? But I don't see any team in the league giving up a first and a fifth for Melvin Gordon. I just don't see that.
What a double whammy of a day for him. You know, you got the fact that yesterday you were basically told, like, we're not doing anything with your contract.
Right.
You can find a trade partner and get the hell out of town, or you can just come suit up and play like you signed to.
Yep.
And then you turn around and Zeke becomes the new highest paid running back in the NFL, and you're not going to sniff that. And you're basically just being told that, hey, we'll take you if you want to be here, but if not, we don't care. And that's the position he put himself in. But I bet it is brutal seeing Zeke's contract come down the pipeline and knowing that that's the new market setter, and that's not what you're getting.
Did you see the tweet where it was two guys, it was like a basketball news conference, and one guy, you know how we are at Big 12 Media Days, and like one podium has everybody surrounded, and then there'll be another guy where there'll be nobody there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a tweet, it was a basketball setting, and there was reporters around everybody's, or at this guy's podium.
Was it a ton of Zion?
What was it?
Zion from the NBA
draft. It probably was.
There was that European player.
And then there
or
was a guy next to him that had nobody, and someone said, this is Melvin Gordon looking at Zeke Elliott right now, and Melvin Gordon hit Twitter and said, man, you guys are cold.
Yeah. No, I bet it was probably that picture of Zion, and I forget what the other dude's name was, but yeah, he had nobody at his table, and there's like 50 people right to his left or right in that picture. So
that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you on your search for a new contract, bud. That's gambling on yourself, which can be good at times, but there's also times when you shouldn't. And I think this is one we're seeing that for Melvin Gordon was not the wisest idea or the best timing. Coming up next, that's NFL News and Notes with Q's Cover 3. Thank you, Q. We'll have Jeff Wilson a bit earlier than normal talking some Rangers as ESPN Central Texas.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Partly to mostly sunny and hot conditions again today. Highs top out at 99 degrees. Tonight, just a few clouds around. Otherwise, it'll be mostly clear. We drop to 74. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and again, very hot with a high of 101 degrees. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
The State Fair Classic is back. It's just a couple weeks away, September 28th at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Prairie View, A&M, Grambling State, the big game, the big festivities. It's just one big party, basically. And if you're like me, you love parties. So I'm definitely going to be in the building. You need to be in the building. We have tickets for you here on ESPN Central Texas, but you definitely can go and secure your tickets right now. They have them available for you in Waco, at Floyd's Audio, in Killeen, Fort Hood ITR Center, and of course, always at Ticketmaster.com. Real easy to get them. It's going to be off the chain, pre-game concert. Post-game concert, and then, of course, the epic Battle of the Bands at halftime. I've never been to see one of these live in person, seen it a lot on TV. I'm going to be in the house at the Cotton Bowl, seeing it live on September 28th, and I encourage you to do the same. Again, it's the State Fair Classic, the big game that decides it all. It's back September 28th at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Make new friends this summer at Genco FCU. For a limited time, join Genco, open a checking account, and you're eligible for $25 cash. How friendly is that? Refer your friends, and you each receive $25. Refer up to 10 friends? That's $250. Start a great friendship today, only at Genco FCU. Because a friend of yours is a friend of ours. Qualifications and requirements will apply. For details, go to GencoFCU.org. NCUA Equal Housing Lender.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Hey, Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet at McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Take advantage of huge savings during our Labor Day sales event. Stop in today or visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Did you know that 1 out of every 4 men have symptomatic low levels of testosterone and don't even know it? And if you think you're too young to worry about it, guess again. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy, cause weight gain, and wreak havoc on your sexual desire and performance. Petty Clinic Low T can set up same-day blood screening and results, so if you're tired of being tired, I challenge you to man up. It's a private clinic with an atmosphere catering to men. Affordable, only $150 a month, includes lab work, office consultation, testosterone injections, follow-up visits, compared to $395 a month in Dallas or Austin, and you don't have to fight the traffic. Petty Clinic Low T is board-certified physician consultations, will provide the best form of brand-strength testosterone available. Listen up. If you're looking for increased energy and strength, improvement in sexual desire and performance, elevated mood, focus, concentration, contact Petty Clinic Low T today. Just off Highway 84 and Old Hewitt Drive in Woodway, Petty Clinic Low T. PettyClinicLowT.com or Google search Low T Waco.
It's time to talk to Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services with their 94% first-time fix rate. They'll leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 254-772-1600, UBO Business Services. Welcome back to UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Time to talk a little Rangers as we're now joined on the phone lines by Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Jeff, we do appreciate the time as always. Rangers fall last night 10-1, looking for a series win later on this evening. And looking for a series win because they were able to take game one. Mike Minor, Jeff, with just a sterling performance 2 nights ago. And I know it's 2 nights ago, but not much to write home about last night. So your thoughts on the way Mike Minor looked. And I know that they got the new ballpark, and there's a lot of question marks heading into next year, but to know that they've got him in the fold already and he's capable of nights like that on a pretty consistent basis, that's a good starting point at least, right?
Yeah, him and Lance Lynn at the top of the rotation, if you look at the advanced metrics and whether it's Baseball Reference or FanGraphs, those two guys are, top five in the league. Baseball Reference says that Mike Minor is the most valuable pitcher in baseball this year. He doesn't know how they formulated that, and he doesn't necessarily agree with it, but the fact is that he's having a terrific season. And what he did Monday against a very potent lineup that hadn't been shut out in 220 games was really it was eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people in New York who maybe hadn't heard of Mike Minor, had lost track of him since his Atlanta days, and it was good stuff.
Craig hit it out the park when he said that there wasn't a whole lot to talk about last night in the game, but Scott Heidemann, he did get his first home run, and it was the same day that his brother gets called up. That's kind of a cool story, even though, like you said, there wasn't much to talk about in that game last night.
Yeah, and you know, Tyler Heineman, he's a year older, a year or two older than Scott, and they don't look anything alike. I don't know. I don't know where, how that's possible, but it is a cool story. And you know, well, congratulations to the Heineman parents to produce two major league ball players. But yeah, it was a neat deal because Scott, his parents are from here, so he had some aunts and uncles and cousins here to see it. And then the adventure afterwards, you know, it was his first home run, and a ball was thrown back on his field, but it turned out to be like a little league ball. So there was some concern that he may not get the ball back, but it all worked out. It was pretty funny. The PA announcer was like, that was Scott Heineman's first home run. He sure would like the ball back. And it worked out. But yeah, great deal. And for it to come on the day of his brother's first call-up is pretty amazing.
I know Joey Gallo is still working his way back. Jeff, I mean, I understand him wanting to play, but what's really the point of him getting, you know, a week and a half of playing time in, depending on when he gets back, when the season's out of reach as far as the standings go?
Yeah, I really think that's something the Rangers are going to have to consider a little more seriously. He's hitting on the field. He can't, you know, he can't hurt the hand anymore. And once the ham and bone's broken and removed, you know, that's it. And so it's a matter of strength, and I don't know if he could hurt something else trying to grip the bat if he doesn't feel like he has the grip. But you know, he's had a great season, exceeded expectations. Maybe he gets back in there and has 10 good games to kind of jump into the off season. But then you got to consider, what if he plays 10 games and goes 0-for-40 or, you know, 3-for-35 or something with a bunch of strikeouts, and carries that into the off season. So I would lean toward not playing him if it gets down to like 10 games. You know, Giancarlo Stanton was shut down by the Marlins maybe 4 or 5 years ago, same injury, same violent swing, and the grip just wasn't there. The strength wasn't in the hand. So it's potentially the same situation, and Stanton did just fine the next year and didn't skip the beat. So if you're looking long-term, that might be the best move for the Rangers.
Talking with Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram here on ESPN Central Texas. Jeff, this is about the time of year we start to see a lot of shakeups in the minor league systems and things like that, and the Rangers obviously making a move yesterday, dismissing the entire coaching staff of the Nashville Sounds, their AAA organization. Now, I know some guys were reassigned and things like that, but typically, because I know a little bit but not a lot, and I know a lot of people are probably curious as well, typically when you see just a coaching staff get wiped out like that in the minor league ranks, what is that message being sent by the organization, or what's typically reasons for changes like that?
Well, you're right. I mean, it raised a lot of eyebrows. I mean, look, Nashville was not a team loaded with prospects. A lot of minor league free agents and veteran guys hanging on looking for a chance, and you know, they were lucky to finish third, and so you wonder, well, was it a, you know, what was going on down there? Or the, you know, big parties every night, not taking the best, you know, focus to the field or anything like that. But John Daniel said that it wasn't anything like that, and the impression I got is that they want guys who are more savvy with analytics. They want guys who are in the organization coaching right now to move up with the prospects who will be becoming the next wave of talent. And I think that's more to do with it than anything, but it did open some eyes. You know, you know, Jason Wood had been with the organization 11 years. He was the AAA manager. At one point he was considered for some major league roles. So I'm not sure if, you know, what, why Jason had to go. The other ones you can maybe see, but that one was most surprising.
I haven't asked you about my guy in a while, Jeff, but I got to ask you, what is your overall assessment of what Willie Calhoun's been able to do as of late since he's been up and been active?
Yeah, you know, he's taking advantage of his playing time. He's kind of was in a funk there for a little while, but yeah, he was the player of the month for August for the Rangers. He had 9 home runs. He's not going back to the minors. I think that's safe to say. He's handled himself fairly well in left field. There've been a couple blemishes, but nothing that cost the Rangers a game or anything. So he's getting his chance and he's running with it. And I think that if the Rangers have learned anything in the second half, it's that they have a quality major league hitter in Willie Calhoun and a guy who is trying to be better in the field and more versatile. So good for him.
Jeff, do you think Ariel Jurado's in the rotation next year? He's had kind of an up-and-down season.
Yeah, I don't. You just kind of look at the mix right now. You have Minor and Lynn. The next probably three guys up are all left-handed, and they're rookies. And you don't want four left-handers and one right-hander. And, you know, Jurado is right-handed, but I think the Rangers need to go get more of a veteran right-hander. There are some names out there that you will recognize who've done something in the major leagues, and then let the three left-handers fight it out for the last two spots. It has been up and down. It has been like that his 2 years in the majors, and you know you kind of forgive him for being a rookie last year for that. He's made some improvements this year, but it's not enough. I mean, if this team has designs on contending next year, they need Ariel Jurado in AAA, getting more reps and being a nice call-up if there's an injury. And they need to go with a more proven guy to start the season.
We're a month or so from the season ending for the Rangers here, Jeff, and we'll close it out with this. Jeff Wilson, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Who are some players that we'll see over the next few weeks that it's going to be a really important time for them to maybe earn themselves more of a look, more time in the majors next season, or guys who have been around the majors that are, you know, kind of need to fight for themselves a little bit? What are some storylines roster-wise that could develop here over the last month, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think you have to look at Nomar Mazar and Rougned Odor. I think Mazar is in good shape for next year. Odor is not. I mean, I think that the Rangers are realizing that this is who he is. We're 140 games into the season, 140 plus games into the season, maybe, and he hasn't gotten any better. He hasn't shown any improvement. And I know that they maybe threw some stuff at him to have him work on, but you know, if you don't have him by now, you kind of have to wonder if this is a guy you can count on. And it's a lot of money going forward. I think that will give him every chance to be on the team next year, because the Rangers don't want to eat the money. But at some point, they're gonna have to decide. And then more on the prospect side, I think you've seen Emmanuel Clase, the reliever, who's been very, very good. Brock Burke's been great, the left-handed starter. Toby Allard hasn't been bad. They may try to get, you know, if Joe Palumbo's thumb is healthy, he'll get some innings. So, and one more is Nick Solak, the guy who could replace Odor if they were to go that far. They've been moving him around a lot. He's going to play third base tonight. So they really like him. He batted cleanup, for crying out loud. So that might speak to the injuries more than to Solak, but they really like him.
Very good stuff, man. As always, Rangers and Yankees later on today, 5:35 first pitch in the Bronx, and it'll be Lance Lynn looking for win number 15 on the year for the Rangers. And Jeff Wilson, normally with us at around 2:30 on Wednesdays, joining us a little bit earlier today. Jeff, thanks so much, man, for your time as always. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Look forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. There is Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Check out more of his work at star-telegram.com. And we keep a very busy hour number two going. Up next, just an hour or so ago, we talked LSU Tigers football with Billy Embody of Go24/7 about the big matchup on Saturday in Austin. Well, we got that perspective. How about the Longhorns' perspective now? Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, joins us next as ESPN Central Texas.
This high school football segment with La Vega High School head coach Don Hyde is brought to you by Bush's Chicken and First Central Credit Union.
Vega Pirates start the season with a win over Medina Valley. It was 7-0 at halftime. Seems like it took a little bit of time to get the offense rolling.
Yeah, you know, you made a 4.5 hour, five hour bus trip down there, and it took us a while to get going, and took us a while to knock off some rust that we developed, I guess, over the course of time, and had some new kids in some different spots, and had to figure it out.
Well, you did figure it out in the third quarter. You kind of got some distance in the third quarter.
Yeah, we played really well in the third quarter. We talked to the kids at halftime about just doing what you're supposed to do. Don't try to do too much. You just do your job, and if you do your job, we'll be all right. And that's what we did in the third quarter.
Fourth quarter, the opponent made a little bit of a comeback. I'm going to guess you maybe had some reserves in at that time to try to give them some playing time.
We put some other kids in, and we also made some mistakes there late in the game that got some penalties that were what we call questionable by far. And so, you know, they moved the ball a little bit down the field and got one big play on us and beat us in a man concept. And the kid just didn't move his feet, and that happens every once in a while in football.
Well, this week, this is a matchup that's kind of becoming a rivalry of some degree with Argyle, a team that you had to beat in the playoffs last year.
Yes, sir. They're a very good football team. We've seen them. You know, we played them in 2015, the state championship game, and they beat us the second game last year at their place, 31-28, and we managed to get a win in the quarterfinals last year in the playoffs. So, very good ball club, very well coached. Coach Rogers does a fabulous job down there at Argyle, and they've got a great tradition, and it'll be a heck of a ball game.
ESPN Central Texas.
Come on, fans, roll into First Central Credit Union. You can bring it local and have lower vehicle payments with First Central. Refinancing vehicles with us gives you the hometown winning advantage. So what's your game plan? It's time to save on all your vehicles and win big with a free SiriusXM trial. It's easy. Visit us online at firstcentralcu.com.
Everything we do for you.
SiriusXM trial offer on factory-eligible vehicles. Membership and loan application requirements apply. Member NCUA.
Amanda Cunningham with Coldwell Banker Apex is one of the only global luxury specialists in Waco, Texas. List your luxury property with Amanda Cunningham to receive immediate exposure to Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Mansion Global, and more. With her global network and extended international reach, she can help you find the perfect vacation or family home anywhere around the world. To find more info, tune in to ESPN Radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 9 and 10 a.m. or find Amanda on Facebook.
Hey Baylor Bear fans, get game day ready with Barefoot Campus Outfitters. From going to games to going out on the town or just hanging with friends, Barefoot's got you covered for all occasions. Show your green and white pride with polos, caps, tees, novelty items, and decals. New items arriving weekly. We are Bear Nation. Dress appropriately with Barefoot Campus Outfitters, located on I-35 next to VTEX Barbecue.
September is a month we take very seriously here at Pickup Outfitters. It's the month that is the heart of our cause, where we ratchet up the fight to end truck nudity. Every year we pause and reflect because September is Grill Guard Awareness Month. We all know someone who suffers from full frontal truck nudity, and September is the month we can make a difference together. We're doing our part at Pickup Outfitters during Grill Guard Awareness Month with our free installation on all grill guards purchased and installed at Pickup Outfitters. And a portion of the proceeds will be used to fight truck nudity in Central Texas. This includes grill guards, bull bars, front end replacement bumpers with grill guards. We're doing our part with free installation during the month of September, and now we're asking you to do your part. Please help us fight full frontal truck nudity with a new grill guard during Grill Guard Awareness Month at Pickup Outfitters. CreateACommotion.com/grillguard.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Brought to you by Jesse Britt Automotive, where they discount your price, not your service, on Valley Mills and online at jessebrittautomotive.com. Ezekiel Elliott's holdout is over. The Cowboys running back signed a 6-year, $90 million extension with $50 million guaranteed and rejoined the team for practice this morning. Jerry Jones was on CNBC and had this to say about Zeke.
Well, I just turned my pockets out upstairs. It means I'm $100 million lighter as of this morning. But seriously, Zeke has been arguably our best player. I'm not trying to be unfair to anybody else, but he's an incremental part to our success.
Tonight, we've got the Rangers and Yankees 5:30 first pitch here on ESPN Central Texas.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. It's time to talk with Jeff Howe from Horns 247 on Unnecessary Roughness.
Well, an hour ago, we talked LSU and Texas from the LSU side of things with Billy Embody of Go 24/7. Now it's time to take a look at what the home team is thinking and looking at heading into Saturday, as that game will be in Austin. And Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, now joins us on the phone lines here on ESPN Central Texas. And Jeff, thanks so much, man, for your time, as always. With this game being in Austin, I know that, you know, USC's been there recently, and there's a bunch of big matchups scheduled for the future. There's been a lot of big games at DKR, but where would you kind of rank the buzz in the ATX this week, and now especially here later on in the week heading towards Saturday, in comparison to some of the other mega matchups that have been there in the last several years?
It's different, Craig, for a few reasons. One, I think the fact that Texas has one of these home games where they're ranked high, and I think the fan base believes that this team now is good enough to beat, you know, the number six team in the country. You know, that Notre Dame game back in 2016, you know, the Joe Tessitore infamous line now when Texas won that game. Nobody expected that. And, you know, I think everybody kind of assumed and had a hunch of what USC was going into that game last year. So, like you said, there have been some big games, but I think the fact that these are two teams that you look at them legitimately on paper is two of the more talented rosters in the country. You know, Texas obviously is expected to get back to the Big 12 championship game, which should put you, you know, in at least the discussion of being the playoffs. So I think the Texas fan base kind of understands, okay, this is a game where Texas is ranked highly. You feel like Texas belongs, and considering the big games they've won under Tom Herman and how they've competed in big games, they feel like, you know, the fans feel like Texas has a chance to go away. You combine that, Craig, with the fact that these two programs, they've only played each other twice in the last 65 years, which, considering how close they are in proximity, the fact that they recruit a lot of the same kids, it's generated a lot of buzz. There's going to be, you know, we've heard somewhere probably around, you know, 10,000 or so LSU fans in the stadium. We've heard there could be upwards around the stadium in Austin that day, something like 50,000 LSU fans just coming into town for the game, knowing they don't have a ticket to get in. So just in terms of the buzz around the stadium, I can't even compare it to anything I've experienced. And I've been going to Texas games since, you know, I was in the third grade. This is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Are you buying the hype around the LSU offense, this high-octane offense? Are you believing that this is something that they could do consistently, or something that they did last week based off of who they were playing?
You know what's funny about that, Q, is we were talking about that on our podcast this week, and I was talking about it on the site and talking about all these different concepts LSU's running, and then I kind of stopped myself and said, wait a minute, it's not like they reinvented the wheel. It's just really weird to see an LSU offense that looks like it belongs in college football in 2019. It's not stuck in the Stone Age, and they're making use of their athletes, and they finally got a quarterback. You know, these are two programs that, considering their prestige, their talent pool they recruit from, you know, both of them have gone a decade plus without, you know, needing to find a quarterback, and Texas found theirs in Sam Ellinger. LSU has theirs in Joe Burrow. I think it all goes back to Ed Orgeron having trust in Joe Brady. And Joe Brady having the background he's got. He was an analyst for Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints the last 2 years. Before that, he was with Joe Moorhead at Penn State. He's now the head coach at Mississippi State. And, you know, watching them against Georgia Southern, there was a heavy Joe Moorhead influence on that game plan. You know, a lot of 11 personnel, but using that one personnel group and the mixture formations up, a lot of tempo, heavy RPOs. I just think it's here to stay. I do buy the hype that it will be different. My question with that LSU offense is, how different does it look against Texas, and do you feel comfortable enough, if you're LSU, with your personnel to, in a game like this, try stuff that you didn't necessarily put on film in the first game and try it on this stage? I don't know if we're going to see that, but, yeah, I'm definitely buying the hype that LSU is different on offense and they can make use of their skill talent finally.
Jeff, how is Texas going to navigate that lack of depth at the running back position over the next few weeks?
Jeff's going to get about 10 carries on Saturday. That's how.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, Craig or Q, if you guys have any eligibility left, if y'all want to go maybe get a carry or two and some spot duty. You know, the short answer, Steven, they don't. They just don't have any bodies. I think they're going to have to supplement that. And we saw some of this in the Louisiana Tech game. And go back to the Texas game plan against Georgia. It's not really throwing to set up the run. I think that's kind of a misconception. They really look at their perimeter screen game, not just the swing passes and the screens to the running backs, but, you know, the bubbles to Devin Duvernay, the outside stuff where maybe you can get a numbers advantage out there. They look at that as an extension of the run game. You know, if you look at Sam Ellinger's numbers from that Louisiana in a Tech game and say, wow, he threw the ball 38 times. That's a lot. You know, I went through and charted it, guys. More than half of those passes, and I'd say probably two-thirds of them, were within 5 yards or less of the line of scrimmage. So it was heavy on the screen game. That's really how they're going to have to supplement it, is with the talent and depth they have at wide receiver. It's one of those situations, guys, where, you know, they would love to be able to take the load off of Sam Ehlinger and even take some off of Keontae Ingram's plate, but you just can't do that. And this is a game where you're going to need Keontae Ingram to touch it, you know, between carries and receptions 20 to 25 times to win. This is a game where maybe if you thought in the summer you would need Sam Ehlinger to carry it 13 to 15 times, you're probably going to need Sam Ehlinger to carry the football 20 to 25 times in this game if you're Texas to go and win it. And I know that sounds like a high number, but their win over Oklahoma last year, he had 19. He had 21 in the Sugar Bowl. So I would expect Sam Ehlinger to run it a lot. Yeah, he went back and corrected himself. He said after the game they didn't have any called runs. He did say yesterday they had one called run. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more than one called quarterback run in that game on Saturday.
Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7 here with us on ESPN Central Texas, talking Texas LSU. With that Jordan Whittington injury, I saw some people putting out video of where they think it might have occurred and all that. And I guess, Jeff, apparently it's something he's kind of dealt with at times. But just how much of a setback is that from the standpoint of reconfiguring the way his freshman year is going to go and how they thought it was going to go? And also just because of how much were they relying on him, how much of an absence does this now become as well compared to what they thought they were going to be able to do this season?
Yeah, we'll take the second part first, Craig. They can't replicate what he brought to the table just as an all-purpose type guy. They don't have anybody else like that. Now, I'll say this. Roshan Johnson looked pretty dang natural at running back, and like I've said, you know, you can have worse options than moving a guy to tailback who in high school ran for almost 5,000 yards and over 80 touchdowns. Granted, he did it from the quarterback position, but he looked like he belonged in that running back room times he touched the ball on Saturday. But Roshan Johnson, as good of an athlete as he is, he's not the dynamic guy Whittington is, and he doesn't have the depth, kind of the scope at that position right now to do the same things Whittington could do, even if he did. I think in terms of what it does for Jordan Whittington, in terms of how you set up the rest of his freshman year, I think the main thing right now is get into Philadelphia to see, you know, probably the top sports hernia guy in the country. And he had this injury in high school, and my understanding was maybe he kind of waited a little too long to have the surgery, and then he had it, and then I'm not knocking anybody at Cuero High School, but it's not like you're going to have a top of the line training staff at Cuero to get him the right kind of rehab coming back from that. And it was just kind of something he dealt with throughout the spring. I don't think anybody really knew how severe it was, but you know, as he got into camp and kind of that camp grind, he was being held out of some practices, going through practice in non-contact settings. And then one of his catches, you can tell there's a drive on the goal line. There's a play where he goes to throw a cut block on a touchdown pass from Sam Ehlinger to Colin Johnson, and he doesn't look good going to the ground, doesn't look good getting up, and that's probably right in there where the injury happened. So, it's a 4 to 6 week recovery. I think the best case scenario for Texas right now is they get him back for the Oklahoma game on October 12th. But that's probably not a game where you just want to throw a guy in and plan on getting him 10 to 12 touches in that game when he's just coming off surgery. So I think you're probably looking at midseason before you can get him back.
This week's game, this matchup should be a real good battle in the trenches. The O-line and D-line is going to be very physical. How healthy, one, is the Longhorns offensive line, and do you expect it to be one in the trenches as well?
Yeah, the second part's interesting, too. We'll get to that in a second. But, Texas is healthy. They really wanted the goal for Zach Shackelford was get him out of the game at the first possible opportunity because his foot had been a little bit sore. You know, it's one of those things we talked about. Anytime you're talking about a 300-pound guy and a foot injury, you've got to give him some extra time. So he got his work in. They got him out. They got Parker Braun the start. So he and Junior Aguilar getting their first starts at those guard positions. So I do think, though, going back to the point about supplementing your run game kind of with perimeter screens and stuff to the outside, and unfortunately this is kind of one of those few games on the schedule where Texas isn't going to have, you know, the physicality or athleticism advantage on the edge like they would have, because LSU's got one of the top secondaries in the country. But I think it's going to be played more so outside the tackles. I would expect a pretty similar game plan to what Texas had against Georgia, because I don't know if this offensive line is ready to just for four quarters go mash with the kind of mass LSU has. I think you'll see Texas be really selective about the times they really try to pound it between the tackles and force the issue. And that's not a lack of physicality thing. I think that's just the Texas staff saying they're not going to hit their heads against the wall trying to go take the path of most resistance. They're going to take the path of least resistance. As far as where the game's going to be won, Q, obviously anytime you're talking about facing an SEC opponent, you talk about the line of scrimmage, but I really think what's going to decide this game is the skill position guys on the outside. I don't know if there's a better matchup in the country in terms of just athlete on athlete, like the LSU wide receivers and the Texas secondary. When you look at how both of those groups have recruited over the last few years, there's a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, and I think a lot of dollars in terms of future NFL contracts that are going to come out of those two groups. And I think conversely, LSU is going to play a lot of man. I mean, they're probably legitimately like 90% man coverage. If Sam Ellinger can recognize those situations and trust Colin Johnson to go win a 50-50 ball, or maybe the one time you can get Devin Duvernay loose down the field, that could end up being the difference in the game. So while obviously the trenches are going to have a lot to do with it, I think whoever wins is plus one or plus two, you know, in those battles on the outside in terms of getting chunk yardage plays. I think that's really what's going to make the difference.
Hey, Jeff, real quick, we'll close it on this. Billy Embody, when we asked him earlier, he said he expects LSU to win this game. It's going to be a good game, but expects LSU to win in Austin and then UT to turn around and win in Baton Rouge next year is his prediction. But how do you feel about the game in Austin? What's your gut telling you on whether or not folks are going to be going home happy or not?
I promise Billy and I did not plan this ahead of time, but that's kind of exactly where I'm at. I think this is a close game, but I do think Texas gets the cover if you're interested in those sorts of things.
Right,
but
right.
And that goes back to Tom Herman's record, 8-2-1 as an underdog against the spread. But I think when you look at these two rosters, Craig, I think where LSU is right now, that's what Texas is shaping up to be next year. I think when you look at this LSU roster, the only two teams you can say without question have more talent than they do are LSU and Clemson and Alabama. And even within some position groups, you could say LSU might be better. This is a very talented roster, and now they've got the offensive scheme and a quarterback to go with it. This is kind of their year, their chance to really go make a push to the playoff. I still think in terms of that, Texas is a year away, which is why I think I would, if I could pick it now, I would pick Texas to go to Baton Rouge and win that game next year.
You can find him on Twitter at JeffHowe247, at JeffHowe247. Also check out Horns247. Still a couple of days of buildup and a lot of good discussion and reporting going on leading into Saturday night in Austin. And Jeff here with us on Wednesdays around 1:30. Thanks so much for your time and how generous you are with it, Jeff. Hope you have a great week and a great Saturday, and we will talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks a lot. There is Jeff Howe of Horns247 here with us on ESPN Central Texas. So we've covered both sides of LSU and Texas heading into Saturday. And he actually agrees with Billy Embody that he thinks LSU wins on Saturday. I was asked about it yesterday. I was initially leaning Texas because anytime I'm unsure and I'm trying to figure it out, I'll go home team. But I don't know, man. There's a lot to like about LSU. And now I'm hearing Billy and Jeff say that both. It's starting to make me think, like, well, that would make sense. You know, LSU is maybe a year ahead of Texas. And then, you know, next year they go to Baton Rouge, get a big road victory. But regardless, it's going to be a huge win for somebody.
I picked LSU yesterday. We got hit up a couple times on the show asking us about it. I definitely picked LSU. I'm sticking with that one.
Yeah, I haven't put down a final concrete answer. But as of yesterday, and I haven't thought about it at all today, as of yesterday, I was leaning slightly towards Texas based mostly on home field. But certainly, either way you go, can't say somebody's wrong right now. Like, hey, Texas is a good pick. LSU is a good pick. Who the hell knows? Just hopefully it's a game that lives up to the billing. That's all I want to really see, is a game that lives up to its hype. It's 1:49. We'll take a break, come back, and close out hour number one. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Elevate your career with a new job at VersaLift, a time manufacturing company. VersaLift is a multinational corporation that develops and builds the world's best quality aerial lifts right here in Central Texas. They hinge their success on their excellent employees. Their welders, engineers, and skilled craftsmen are a huge part of that success. And now it's your turn. VersaLift is always looking for motivated people to join their team. So drop by their location, 7601 Imperial Drive in Waco, to apply.
Does your copier service company offer surveys pertaining to their services that were completed? At UBO Business Services, we do. As a matter of fact, in 2018, our customers rated UBO an average of 4.87 out of 5 stars in more than 5,000 surveys. By reaching out to our customers in this manner, it lets UBO know areas we can improve while offering the highest level of customer experience in our industry. Call Sean Hunt today at 254-772-1600 and let him help your team win when it comes to office equipment. As always, go Midway Panthers.
For more than 90 years, you've entrusted our brand to guide you toward living the lifestyle you've always dreamed of. Now you can entrust Better Homes and Garden Real Estate Professionals with your needs and help you find the home of your dreams and throughout every stage of your home buying or selling process. With your life in mind, there's Better Homes and Garden Real Estate. Edwards & Associates. Expect better at BetterWaco.com. That's BetterWaco.com.
Celebrating their fifth anniversary, the Baylor Club, located inside McLean Stadium, is excited to announce the grand opening of The Bridge. A work-study space by day and gathering place by night, The Bridge features city views, a fully stocked coffee bar, and business center to keep you productive and focused. Contact April or Stephanie today at 254-710-8080 or online at thebaylorclub.com to learn more. ESPN Central Texas listeners mention this ad for preferred pricing and added perks.
Pascal Insurance and Real Estate is a full-service independent insurance agency and real estate company. They write all policies from commercial to auto and home. Pascal Insurance and Real Estate represents multiple companies, including Safeco, Travelers, Allstate, Progressive, Central, and Hoheim Prairie. Their real estate experts specialize in residential, commercial, and farm and ranch properties. Stop by and check them out, 401 South Madison in McGregor, or learn more at psrealtors.com.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Techstar Equipment is your Central Texas home for tractors, mowers, trailers, box blades, shredders, plows, and harvest equipment. In 1964, Hustler introduced the world's first zero-turn radius mower, and today's Hustler will cut your mowing time in half. Featuring the industry's toughest cutting decks, Grasshopper mowers also feature unmatched comfort and a smoother ride. And don't forget to check out the Altos Track mowers at Techstar Equipment. These mowers are made in America and go where no traditional mower has gone before. Plus, they're your home for professional-grade handheld outdoor power equipment from Echo, including blowers, trimmers, weed eaters, and chainsaws. And while you're at Techstar Equipment, be sure to check out the full line of Thunder Creek service trailers and Syntex lawn trailers. And the staff at Techstar Equipment offers easy financing options and a quick approval process. Texan-owned and operated Techstar Equipment, 1209 North Business Highway 6 in Marlin, and at TechstarEquipment.com.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. Brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas' Chevy truck headquarters. Visit us now during our Labor Day sales event and experience the Jim Turner difference that so many of our friends rave about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em Bears.
Matt Rhule is currently speaking over on Baylor's campus. We hope to have that audio for you coming up in our final hour, at least a little snippet of it, to get a little bit of the sound from what the Baylor head coach has to say on this Wednesday, just 3 days out from their matchup on Saturday against UTSA and what could be a pretty tough game. Quite frankly, just with what UTSA is typically able to do on defense, typically solid there, and now with this new threat at quarterback in Frank Harris, who a lot of people have been buzzing about this week, should be a nice test. It's not going to be, you know, playing Oklahoma or Iowa State in Ames or anything, but it's going to be a nice little tune-up and certainly a big jump up from what they did a week ago or who they faced a week ago. And a team now, the UTSA, that had no emotion heading into the season. Freaking Javi Cardenas is on with us. He's like, yeah, people are, you know, they kind of care, kind of don't, kind of ready for Frank Wilson to leave, kind of. And one game in, Frank Harris has a great game. All of a sudden, UTSA Nation's in full, you know, full glory.
Fired up.
And ready to upset Baylor. So last week certainly changed the feel of this game going into it. And I'm sure that Baylor is well aware in their preparations of just how much Frank Harris talk there's been, but how dangerous he is and how much they're going to have to look to stop him so that he cannot run free like he did last weekend. Because if he does, then they're not going to have a very good chance to win that game.
It's going to be a good step up in competition and just kind of help Baylor get along. I mean, Baylor's the better team, but again, because of everything that you just said, I mean, there's ways that they can be beat. You know, UTSA could come in here and win this game if Baylor's not careful. So it'll be a good test to just know Baylor has to, something we talked about yesterday, just be disciplined on defense and then take advantage on offense. And again, it's going to be a little bit tough to take advantage on offense because UTSA's defense is pretty good. So I think for a week two matchup, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have some Matt Rhule for you coming up in just a few. Also, Zeke's speaking to the press right now, apparently. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back. We'll have that little bit of Jerry audio, even though you've heard some of it now from just little snippets. But we'll talk some of what Zeke is saying. And then hopefully we'll have some Matt Rhule to play around with as we close out this final hour. But we'll start off with some Cowboys and get back to Zeke and what's he saying about his new deal to the media right now. This is ESPN Central Texas.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
It's football season. Waco Custom Marketplace is your one-stop tailgate shop and now offering fully cooked brisket, smoked in-house. A barbecue brisket tailgate box including fully cooked marketplace brisket, a pound of potato salad, beans, coleslaw, sliced pickles, sliced onions, 16 ounces of marketplace barbecue sauce, and a loaf of bread, all for just $100. There's one-of-a-kind sausage, summer sausage, and boudin, and top-quality steaks that will melt in your mouth. A tailgate family box with ground beef and chicken breast and boneless pork chop for $40. Tailgate grill box with hot dogs, hamburger patties, hot links, leg quarters, $40. There's a snack box, a fajita party box. You can start your day with fresh baked kolaches, craft and domestic beer, charcoal and pellet fuel. It's your one-stop shop for all of your tailgating needs. The friendliest and fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco, or WacoCustomMarketplace.com.
You can have the most beautiful backyard with gorgeous landscaping, perhaps a hot tub or pool and a deck, but that view can be ruined without a fence from Pinnacle Fence and Supply. Pinnacle Fence can customize what you need. Privacy fencing, chain link, ornamental iron, and even fence repairs on what you already own or temporary fencing for commercial or residential needs. Pinnacle Fence provides various lengths of warranty on gates or fencing, especially during the wonderful but sometimes odd weather in Central Texas. Let us complete your backyard haven. Pinnacle Fence, 133 North 1st Street in Hewitt, or at PinFence.com.
At Marksman, they know firearms. When it comes to long-range shooting, tactical or specialized gear, nobody comes close. So for ammo, accessories, and quality gunsmithing, head over to Marksman Firearms in Killeen. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. MarksmanFirearms.com.
Citizens State Bank is excited about Central Texas sports and is glad to be part of so many outstanding communities.
Citizens now has 9 locations, serving Buffalo, Centerville, Clifton, Dawson, Grosbeck, Hubbard, Itasca, Teague, and Whitney.
If you are one of their valued customers, they say thank you for your business.
If you're looking for a bank where you're more than a number, check them out at CitizensStateBankTX.com.
Their children, grandkids, nieces, and nephews participate in many school activities. This gives Citizens State Bank a vested personal interest in the lives of these students.
They wish all the student athletes, cheerleaders, band, and drill team members a year of success.
Whether you're a bison, tiger, cub, bulldog, goat, jagger, wampus cat, lion, or wildcat fan, know that Citizens State Bank supports and appreciates your hard work.
Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Since 1972, Lynch Auto Repair has delivered dependable, honest, and affordable auto repair to their customers. They do complete repairs on foreign and domestic cars and trucks and specialize in electronic computer diagnostics to find out what's truly wrong with your vehicle, plus brakes and suspension repair. Your repair will be done in a timely manner and done right the first time. Family owned and operated, Lynch Auto Repair, 2900 North Robinson Drive, open Monday through Friday, 7:30 till 5:30, 254-662-6833.
I'm Christine Lisi. Ezekiel Elliott finally back on the field with the Cowboys as they get ready for Sunday season opener. The star running back, fresh off signing a six-year, $90 million extension, joined the team today for his first on-field work with the Cowboys since mid-June's minicamp. With all the time missed from the lengthy holdout, Elliott won't likely see his usual workload against the Giants this week, believes ESPN's Marcus Spears.
I expect them to play 20 to 25 plays. I know the happiest person on earth right now is Kellen Moore. You know how easy his game plan just got? Trying to formulate things to maybe hide Tony Pollard and not force him in the uncomfortable position. When 21 show up, it's like, all right, let's open the whole thing up. He's here for install. We gonna have him get touches in practice.
Marcus Spears on Golic and Wingo. Raiders receiver Antonio Brown did not appreciate a letter from the team informing him they were fining him $54,000 for unexcused training camp absences. So he went on Instagram to vent because of course he did. Part of AB's response, everyone got to pay this year, so we clear.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
KRZI Waco. K256BW Waco. ESPN Central Texas. We're now joined by Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football.
And back here on ESPN Central Texas, it's just after 2 o'clock, and it's time to talk some high school football as we're joined on the phone lines by Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, his weekly segment with us here on ESPN Central Texas. And Greg, please forgive me. I was sitting here, you know, exiting hour number two, and I'm like, all right, we're going to talk Zeke and more Cowboys coming up next. I know you're talking Zeke on Twitter as well, and we're going to get to this. And I mean, I guess it's because early in the season, we get into the commercial break, they're like, hey, we got Greg Tepper next. So my apologies for not giving you the proper introduction a few minutes ago, but it's good to have you. And here we are now into the second week of the season. What was the storyline, the biggest thing? If somebody said, Greg, what's the story of week one in Texas high school football or week zero, what would be the one thing that stands out to you the most?
You know, the one thing I would say is that we had a bit of recalibration across the board. You know, we spend so much of the offseason, especially here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football, just consumed with high school football, thinking about it and analyzing it, overanalyzing it, and overanalyzing it. And such is the life of somebody who works in sports, that when you actually get data points, sometimes they go against sometimes it causes you to kind of rethink some things that you were thinking the entire offseason. For example, we had four state champions lose in week one, four defending state champs. Galena Park North Shore lost to Katy, Aledo lost to Denton Geyer, Mason lost to Wall, and then you had Strawn lose to Borden County. Now, I don't know if I would necessarily classify any of those as an upset. You know, Katy and Galena Park North Shore have been playing close games for eons, and you know, Katy ended up making one or two plays that ended up pushing them over the top. You know, Denton Geyer's a ranked 6A team that takes down a very good and defending champ in 5A team, but 5A team nonetheless in Aledo. You know, Mason is a 2A team that lost to a 3A team, albeit their first loss at home in 38 games. And then Strawn lost to Borden County. That's a Division I team beating a Division II team in the six-man ranks. But, you know, beyond that, beyond those state champions, we have some other games that really kind of shook us and said, okay, well, what exactly are we looking at? I'll give you a perfect example. Is Lake Travis lost to Arlington Martin. And Lake Travis lost to Arlington Martin 35-14. And it's not necessarily a stunner that Lake Travis loses an opener. You remember a couple of years ago, they ended up losing to Converse Judson in the opener in rather emphatic fashion and ended up, I believe, winning a state championship that year. But the way that they lost and the fact that the offense was not able to get going and the fact that Arlington Martin came out and looked like the better team from the word go, has us kind of rethinking that. You know, they tumbled in our rankings this week in Lake Travis. You know, we've always got to balance this right now early in the season, or we've only got one data point. And we're not, you know, we don't want to overreact to one game. We don't want to go crazy over one game. But there were certainly some results in week one that caught our eye and have us thinking, you know, have we over or underestimated this team heading into the season?
Sticking with that, Arlington Martin, I wanted to ask you about that. They play again on Thursday. They're going to play against Hebron. How do they come off of that victory over Lake Travis? Do you think that they're able to kind of clear it and get back to business, or does that high kind of stay a little bit too high for them?
Right, that's a big question, I think, going forward. And this is suddenly a super, super interesting Thursday night game. It was always going to be pretty good, but now you've got two of the teams that are arguably the most impressive teams in week one. You know, you had a Hebron team that is always known for having an outstanding squad. They went out there and took care of business against Plano, 53-26. You know, and then Martin obviously coming off their big win over Lake Travis. This is suddenly a very big emotional game, and I'll tell you, the key for Martin is going to be this junior quarterback Zach Mundell. He was absolutely sensational in their win over Lake Travis, most specifically running the ball. He ran for something like 170 yards. That's really impressive. And against a Lake Travis defense that we thought was going to be pretty darn good. So to me, and then, of course, there's Arlington Martin's defense. They have a history of putting together a pretty good defense. You may remember a guy named Miles Garrett. But to me, this is going to come down to who can settle in and who can take that week one and put it behind them, because I think you're right. You know, Arlington Martin's getting a lot of ink spilled about them this week. They're getting a lot of breath, used on saying the name of the Warriors. And so it's going to be up. It's a big challenge for Bob Wager and company to settle his kids down, get them focused on a really good Hebron team that's got plenty of playmakers like Darius Snow coming to town and get focused. Because to me, this is the kind of game that if you're Arlington Martin, you've been talked about for a week, right? You've been talked about as the team that knocked off Lake Travis on the road, by the way. You've been talked about that as that team. If you go out there and beat Hebron, then suddenly people are going to be talking about you not just as a team that pulled off two big wins, but as a team that may be a team to be reckoned with down the road. So this is, I think, a really important game for both squads because, you know, Hebron's a team that they're in the 6A Division II bracket we have high hopes for as well. So a really, really tasty Thursday matchup that I don't necessarily think we saw coming.
Greg, what's your take on a good early season matchup between La Vega and Argyle?
Yeah, this is either the best or the second best game in the state this week. This is an awesome, awesome game. And, of course, it's round three of these two teams going at it, and they split the first two. La Vega won when it mattered in the playoffs, and Argyle won this game 1 year ago. This is a really intriguing matchup for a couple of reasons. First, these teams know each other so well. They're just ultra familiar with one another. When you're playing for basically a third time in 15 games, you're gonna get to know each other's tendencies. Argyle was really impressive in their opener over Stephenville. The offense looked really really good. Bo Hogaboom was in complete command of this offense. He's got a number of receivers to throw to. The thing that kind of impressed me most about watching Argyle when I was able to get my hands on some film is they're big. They are big and they are physical. And when you talk about the kind of team you have to be to match up with La Vega, a team that prides itself on being the most physical team on the field, you got to be big and physical. And so that is, you go back to last year in the playoffs. La Vega was able to beat Argyle in the playoffs because they were able to outmuscle them. They were able to run the ball. Are they able to do that this week? And look, I've got some. I'm really interested in La Vega. They come off a nice win over Medina Valley in week one. The defense, per usual, looked really good. But now they're doing some different things, specifically at the quarterback spot. They've moved Eric. All reports are that they've moved Eric Rawls, who led the quarterback who led them to a state championship a year ago, to safety in favor of Landry Kinney. Landry Kinney, the transfer from Denton a year ago. A very interesting move here. And Don Hyde knows his squad better than anybody. This is a really interesting move, though, because you just don't see it. You don't see if you're a starting quarterback for a state champion and you're coming back the next year, you're just the starting quarterback. That's how it goes. And so, but obviously they think Eric Rawls can do some damage in the secondary. Landry Kinney was playing a little bit of safety last year. They're kind of switching positions. So I'm very interested in seeing how this game shakes out. Now, look, last year we saw this game. It was a great game. Argyle won. Didn't matter in the end. So take every result we have with a grain of salt. The only thing that would really surprise me here would be a blowout in either direction. But this figures to be just a sensational game at the 4A level.
Greg Tepper, Dave Campbell's Texas Football, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. So each week I talk to Mart head coach Kevin Hoffman for one of our coaches' shows, and they've got Holland this week, Greg, and he was remarking about Holland that for them, this has been the team, you know, that year that every school has every once in a while that you talk about where you know you're going to be really loaded with talent and it sets up well. And he said that that's been the class that they've been building up to at Holland that they now have this year. So he's expecting a big challenge. Now, they blew through Bosqueville. Kyler Martin was back, which was a great story, and he's 100% healthy. They got Rodrell Freeman back, of course, as well. But Holland and Mart, how much of a test do you think the Hornets do give them? And have you gotten that sense as well, maybe about Holland, that this is a team that they're really excited about?
I think so, and you look at what they've been able to do this, coming into the season, we thought that they were going to be really impressive. A 10-win team a year ago brings back 17 starters, and they were as advertised in week one. Boy, howdy, they put it on Moody. Now, Moody was an overmatched team, I want to be clear, but they beat them 64-6 and it rang up 643 yards of offense in that game. And I think you're right. I think this is the class that Brad Talbert has been waiting for there at Moody. And you can see it with their quarterback, Zane Spinn, and Clay Cooper, their running back, and a guy who's kind of a little do-it-all athlete in Brady Shelton. This is a team that I think could be ready for prime time, and if they want to prove it, they can go out there and they can play a team like Mart, because there are few teams that are going to test you in the same way that Mart is going to. Look, Mart looked really good in week one, and we've got some highlights on High School Scoreboard Live, and when I saw Kyler Martin standing back there and taking the snap and handing it back to Rodrell Freeman, my first thought was, who in the world in Class 2A Division II is going to be able to stop that? That is a frightening combination when you have those two guys in the backfield together. Now, look, this is going to be, I think, a really interesting test here for Mart, because they're going to be playing a team that in Holland that does have the kind of skill position players that are going to test their defense. And that's something I want to see, because at some point, you know, Mart, if they're going where we think they want to get to, they're going to have to run into some really good teams, some teams with some really outstanding firepower. Maybe it's a team like Hamlin, or maybe it's a team like Fall City that they could see in a semifinal, or a team like Stratford from way out west. Teams with big time firepower. Well, here's a team in Holland that has firepower. They have skill guys all over the field. I'm interested in seeing how Mart matches up with them. Now, remember, this is a 2A Division I in Holland going up against a 2A Division II in March, so not a whole lot that can be gleaned as far as a transitive property is concerned. But I'll say that I think for both of these squads, this is a great test. That, you know, if you're Holland, you're going up against the team in that area that has been the big bully on the block. You've been the preeminent program there in the Central Texas area, and you can get a real feather in your cap and have a lot of confidence heading into the season. And if you're Mart, you're taking on a team that is going to challenge you sideline to sideline with speed that very few teams in the state can. So I'm very excited about this matchup, and I think we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams.
What are your thoughts on South Oak Cliff and Duncanville?
Yeah, you know, South Oak Cliff is a team that I think lurks, a team that we always talk about has a lot of athletes, and they certainly do once again this year. They're an absolute, you know, blue chip factory down there in South Dallas, and when you take a look at some of the guys that they've got, you know, like Jonathan Davis, Courtline Flowers, they've got great defensive playmakers that should be able to test this Duncanville team. Now, Duncanville, you know, in week one, it was a little bit of fits and starts in that opener against Lancaster. And Lancaster is a team that is a really good and, I think, on the rise 5A team. So don't go crazy about it. And they ended up pulling away. But I will say that you put that one in the okay, let's see what you've got, Duncanville category. You know, last year there was a little bit of they started off slow, trying to figure out exactly what they're going to be, how they're going to look. You know, week one is always a little bit squirrely. You know, whenever you got guys out there that if the last play that you played live was a Hail Mary to lose a state championship game. But to me, this is a really interesting game that's going to have plenty of speed on the field. I think these two teams are going to get sideline to sideline, but I think that the thing that's going to be interesting to me is the defenses. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of a tendency to look at these two teams and say, oh, there's going to be a lot of points. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think these are two defenses that tend to dominate. I think this could be the kind of game – where 28 points wins it. This is a I think this is a hard-hitting, really fast defense, and both these teams pride themselves on putting their best athletes on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's what you're going to see between Duncanville and Sauk. It figures to be a pretty good game. Duncanville's, I think, obviously your favorite as a 6A team over a 5A team and the number two team in Dave Campbell's Texas football. Or number one, rather, in Dave Campbell's Texas football. But I'll tell you that I think this is a really interesting test for both of these squads.
You can find him on Twitter at Tepper, TEPPER. You can also find him on Friday nights on Fox Sports Southwest. Of course, TexasFootball.com as well. And here with us on Wednesdays around 2 o'clock. Hey, Greg, as always, man, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy this next round of high school football. And we'll start talking about the third week of games with you next Wednesday, man. Have a good time and have a good week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot. There's Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football talking about some of the matchups of the many. And tomorrow, when did we do it last week? Like 1:30 or something? It was something along those lines?
I think so. I don't want to lie to you, but I think it was around 1:30-ish.
Yeah, because I know I didn't want to squeeze it in that 12:45 segment like right. We were kind of doing last year. So we'll do something similar tomorrow, just depending on the guest lineup.
It's whenever D. Lockwood was locked in and was ready to listen, because I know I shouted out, "You dogs!" a bunch of times, and he couldn't even stand it in his ears. So whenever D. Lockwood was locked in, that's when we did it.
I think we'll typically do it at 12:30 unless Olin schedule changes.
Yeah,
schedule with him at 1:30.
That's right. Good point. Yeah, because the Aggies played on Thursday night last week, so it changed up the schedule a bit. Yeah, so we'll probably do it about 12:30s on Thursdays, and we've got the games in front of us, all 20, and we'll go from Big School and the 6A's, Round Rock and Belton, Manor, Coppers Cove, some of the matchups, all the way down to the 1A's and the private schools. We got Blum, Jonesboro, Live Oak, Parkview Christian, some of the games there. So we'll hit all of them, 20 games this week that we'll have every week, 20 games, and then all the way into the playoffs and the final state championship game. We go all the way through. It is 2:16. We got so many moving parts to know that Matt Rule has spoken, Jerry's spoken, Zeke's spoken, everybody's spoken now at this point. So what do you think we should hit next?
We got Rule audio right now. We should probably hit that. That's big.
You want to hit Rule? All right, we'll hit Rule. And, now we'll pass along some Zeke stuff as we kind of move along as well over these last 45 minutes. So Matt Rule, ahead of UTSA, and now ahead of you next is ESPN Central Texas.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Partly to mostly sunny and hot conditions again today. Highs top out at 99 degrees. Tonight, just a few clouds around. Otherwise, it'll be mostly clear. We drop to 74. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and again, very hot with a high of 101 degrees. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
Jack Roofing, the name you need to remember, and that's Jack with no K. So JACroofs.com. Matter of fact, put that website in somewhere as close to you. Like, put it in your phone, put it in your notes. They're the best in the business when it comes to roofing and explaining to each and every customer what you need to know when it comes to taking care of your home. Julio, he's the owner of Jack Roofing. He'll personally walk you through the step-by-step process on getting a new roof, or maybe if you don't need a new roof, and sometimes you don't, a lot of times you don't, he'll tell you exactly what you need, don't need, when you need to do it, how you can push it off down the road a little bit longer. It's all good. He's going to explain it to you so you understand, because it's something that's not the easiest to understand. But Julio will definitely walk you through step by step, really just kind of almost dumb it down so you understand it. That's what he had to do for me. He had to dumb it down so I understood, but he made perfect sense at the end of the day. And if you have an insurance claim, you actually only have 1 year to get that claim into your insurance agency, so you got to go ahead and hurry up and do that. Julio does a great job of talking the language of the insurance agency so they know exactly what you need, what you don't need, and basically less money comes out of your pocket, which is a win for everybody. So to get more information on this, talk to my guy. Don't talk to the homeboy down the street. Talk to Julio at jackroofs.com. That's JACroofs.com.
Did you know that one out of every four men have symptomatic low levels of testosterone and don't even know it? And if you think you're too young to worry about it, guess again. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy, cause weight gain, and wreak havoc on your sexual desire and performance. Petty Clinic Low T can set up same-day blood screening and results, so if you're tired of being tired, I challenge you to man up. It's a private clinic with an atmosphere catering to men. Affordable, only $150 a month, includes lab work, office consultation, testosterone injections, follow-up visits, compared to $395 a month in Dallas or Austin, and you don't have to fight the traffic. Petty Clinic Low T is board-certified physician consultations, will provide the best form of brand-strength testosterone available. Listen up.
If you're looking for increased energy and strength, improvement in sexual desire and performance, elevated mood, focus, concentration, contact Petty Clinic Low T today. Just off Highway 84 and Old Hewitt Drive in Woodway, Petty Clinic Low T. PettyClinicLowT.com or Google search Low T Waco.
In Waco, Texas values are important. We value hard work. We believe in our community. And we honor our history. At Jeff Hunter Toyota, we share these Waco values. That's why we support the Baylor Bears. Lend a hand to Fuzzy Friends Rescue and aid the Salvation Army. We believe in the value of a dollar. And we believe in high quality. That's what you'll find every day at Jeff Hunter Toyota. Shop Jeff Hunter Toyota. Toyota quality. Waco values.
At Bush's Chicken, you can always count on getting the best chicken, the best tenders, and the best tea at the best value. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and Harker Heights. The start of a new school year means that many kids out there are starting back into fall sports. And since football has already started, I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about some of the most common injuries. One of the most common injuries in football is a muscle strain or a pulled muscle, especially in the hamstrings or quads. So what do you do for it? What's after ice or rest? Well, a lot. In fact, I have a full report available on my website that walks you through the steps of recovery from both minor and major strains, and I'm making it available to you for free. To access your report, the 5 secret recovery steps of a muscle pull that only pro athletes know and use, simply go to my website at syntexrehab.com/SMP. That's syntexrehab.com/SMP, and you can download the full report for free. Remember, the recovery is more than just rest and ice, and pro athletes know that. Go to syntexrehab.com/SMP and download your free report today.
It's football season. Waco Custom Marketplace is your one-stop tailgate shop and now offering fully cooked brisket, smoked in-house. A barbecue brisket tailgate box including fully cooked Marketplace brisket, a pound of potato salad, beans, coleslaw, sliced pickles, sliced onions, 16 ounces of Marketplace barbecue sauce, and a loaf of bread, all for just $100. There's one-of-a-kind sausage, summer sausage, and boudin, and top-quality steaks that will melt in your mouth. A tailgate family box with ground beef and chicken breast and boneless pork chops for $40. Tailgate grill box with hot dogs, hamburger patties, hot links, leg quarters, $40. There's a snack box, a fajita party box. You can start your day with fresh baked kolaches, craft and domestic beer, charcoal and pellet fuel. It's your one-stop shop for all of your tailgating needs. The friendliest and fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco, or WacoCustomMarketplace.com.
Make new friends this summer at Genco FCU. For a limited time, join Genco, open a checking account, and you're eligible for $25 cash. How friendly is that? Refer your friends, and you each receive $25. Refer up to 10 friends? That's $250. Start a great friendship today, only at Genco FCU. Because a friend of yours is a friend of ours. Qualifications and requirements will apply. For details, go to GencoFCU.org. NCUA Equal Housing Lender. Genco.
With their 94% first-time fixed rate, UBO Business Services leaves other copy service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 254-772-1600. UBO Business Services, back here on ESPN Central Texas. D. Lockwood cleared something up for us. We did Pick'ems last week at around...
He said 120. He said that they started their work at 134, and so he said that we started ours at 120.
Well, thank you, D. Lockwood, for being a loyal listener.
And then he hit us up and said, yep, them damn U-Dogs.
Damn U-Dogs.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
There
good
it is.
Times, man.
There it is. You know, they got a chance to go 2-0.
They do.
When's the last time that they had a chance to go 2-0? And I'm not trying to goof. I'm just saying. I mean, when's the last time they had a chance to go 2-0? They could do that to start the season off, man. That'll get them some confidence and feeling good about themselves, and then get off to that kind of start.
That'd be huge. It really would. Be great for that program to get off to a 2-0 start. And what a fantastic story it could potentially be. Obviously the competition is going to get tougher and tougher, but you know, as you start winning games, that's how you start believing. That's how you suddenly believe you can go beat a team that's actually really better than you.
Right.
And then you do that, and then you're like, oh, wow. And then, and you know, that's the process that Baylor's in right now. You know, you had to beat somebody first, and they did that, But then you had to start proving like you can beat somebody other than the teams you're basically paying to come in and beat. And, you know, that first year, that 1-11, they got the Kansas game in there, thankfully. Otherwise, we were looking at a big fat offer. And then last year, they started winning some of the non-conference. And that confidence started to build, and it led them into Big 12 play. And all of a sudden, you're not just beating a Kansas or another team that's down. All of a sudden, you're beating an Oklahoma State in comeback fashion, and a K-State in comeback fashion. And that confidence is slowly building. And so that confidence has been building now for, you know, a little over a year since the winning started, or getting back to some winning started. And now 1-0 was easy peasy, 1-2-3-easy. Other than a little stretch there in the first half where it was only like 14-0, and then it was 14-7, pretty much had their way with SFA. But a much bigger test coming into Waco on Saturday with the UTSA Roadrunners, their dynamic quarterback in Frank Harris, solid defense. Head coach Frank Wilson, you may have heard him speaking this week on Harris and his story. It's getting a lot of play right now, for sure. And definitely will if they can come in and knock off Baylor. But Matt Rhule and the Bears have something to say about that. And they're preparing to not let that happen. And Matt Rhule spoke just a few minutes ago over on the campus of Baylor. And his final time before the game on Saturday against UTSA.
Matt, a 3 o'clock game. Do you take special precautions or anything for the heat or?
No, I mean, we you know, we practice in the afternoons most days, and we practiced really because of preseason camp, because of classes, we practiced in the heat. So, you know, we make sure the guys hydrate. We make sure that we, you know, do a good job of having the things on the sideline, which everyone will have. But at the end of the day, it comes down to blocking and tackling. And so tell our twos, you know, and threes to be ready to play if need be, if we play a lot of plays. But we just kind of treat it like any other game.
Do the players right now have kind of a good sense of of what UTSA is going to do and what their assignments are right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we got in Sunday and we got started right away on it. Monday's our off day, but I thought a lot of guys did some extra preparation, had a good day of practice yesterday in the morning, had meetings last night. So I think guys have a good feel for where we're at. They present some unique challenges. I talked about the quarterback, going back and studying them some more. You know, they use 2 tight ends a lot, so they'll be in, you know, tight power sets, and then these guys are athletic enough. You know, they have 3 that they play with. They're athletic enough that they can go out and be like receivers. So for us, you know, obviously we played a lot of 3 down last week. We've been working in some of our 4 down stuff, knowing that they can go to, you know, 2 tight ends, 2 fullbacks and try to overpower us. At the end of the day, they're a tough physical team. They love to run the football. It's part of their ethos. And, you know, so we're prepared, whether it's, you know, whether we stay with some of the nickel stuff or go back to some of our 4 down stuff to know that we're going to have to try to defend the run. And I know that it's going to be a 4-quarter game. So I'm pleased with the work so far. We'll practice again this afternoon, and we'll see how it looks today, though.
Is that going to be an in-game decision between the 3 or the
4? Yeah, just like anything else. Like, it's like deciding whether we're going to blitz or not, run or pass. I mean, we have them both. You know, we had it ready last week, and they just turned out to be more of a spread team. But this is more of a 2 tight end power team that can also spread it out. So, you know, we have the ability to get to both. It's just a matter of in-game sort of, you know, what's working, what's not. And what's great about what they do, though, is they are versatile. They can be spread out with those people. And it's what the Patriots did for years, which is why they were so good, and presents unique challenges.
You mentioned on Monday about trying to keep Charlie upright because he took a lot of hits. What has the offensive line done this week to make sure that he kind of stays upright for Saturday?
Just continue to try to get better. I mean, you know, over the years, UTSA has presented us with a lot of challenges in terms of blitzes, in terms of some unique looks. But at the end of the day, they have a great D-line. They rush. And it's a matter for our offensive line of just being really sound in our technique and in our communication, making sure Charlie's sound in, you know, when he's hot, when he's not, when he has to sight adjust. Those are things that you usually get better as the season goes on. Well, we have to get better from game 1 to game 2. So we focused on it yesterday to a degree, and today, really Wednesday, more third down, more 2-minute, more red zone. That's when we really sort of dial in on those areas.
Frank, his background obviously coming from LSU, you talk about him being a physical team. Do you guys maybe see a little bit of yourselves in the way that they want to play and the way that y'all want to try to play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we led the Big 12, I think, or have been in the top 2 last years in time of possession. You know, we limit our defense, try to keep them under 68 snaps. I think we had 63 on Saturday. They played 53 snaps. Their defense did on Saturday. They were, you know, they held Incarnate Word to 0 of 10 on third down. And so it's the same things, you know, the ability to run the football, the ability to play defense, to get off and move the drive on your own third downs. And so They do it. They do it, you know, with different run schemes than maybe than we do it, but it's the same overall philosophy.
Matt, what kind of determination did you see from RJ after he had that leg injury?
You know, he played probably, you know, he played right away, played maybe before he was ready. And I thought, you know, when you have an injury like that, people don't realize this is such a long road back. I mean, it's 6 o'clock treatments. And then we're very intentional about the way we do things. We do an injured player lift. Like some places, they just kind of throw them off to the side. But we have a lift. It's first thing in the morning, but it's for the injured guys. And so what ends up happening is you go through this year of just grinding through treatment, grinding through rehab, grinding through the lifting, not really having a chance to, when we practice, those guys are, you know, over there doing extra work. And it's a chance for you to really to mature and grow physically and grow mentally. And I think the thing that we've seen from RJ, you know, was able to come back last year and play some plays, and we saw it in the bowl game. In the bowl game, like, he was almost a starter for us, when and we said, you know, we could probably start him. His self-purpose, and we came out to work every day, it was very deliberate. You know, he was out there for a reason. It was no longer just kind of floating along. And I think the biggest thing is now is he's a very serious, very determined young man. And at the same time, he's also way bigger, way stronger. You know, he was working with Coach Ford with the track team last spring. You know, he's not going to run on the track, but he working on his speed. I mean, he's doing everything he can to maximize his abilities, and he has a lot of abilities. And so if everyone had his approach, you know, we'd have one heck of a team. And the good news is when you have guys like that, people start to get that approach. They see him and they see the things he's doing. They see it pay off. If you can teach one lesson to your team, it's that, you know, what happens in practice happens in the game. And, you know, those catches he made in the game, he also does them in practice. And so there's no entitlement. He's just such a selfless guy, a hardworking guy. And he was right back at it this week. You know, he didn't feel real great. 2 diving catches landing on his ribs, you know, whatever. But he was right back out here practicing the next day. And that helps us have a good team.
Is there a benefit playing UTSA 3 years in a row? Preparation, you know him pretty well.
Well, I think, you know, it's a benefit and a detriment in that we both have seen each other. You know, like, you know, there's not a lot of surprises. You know, we really haven't changed who we are. We've made some additions on defense. They've changed who they are a little bit on offense in terms of the new quarterback and, you know, Jeff Castle taking over as the OC, but he was there before. So you just kind of get familiar with each other. And the thing that obviously the first game, they beat us here, went down to the fourth quarter. Last year, we were able to make it just a couple more plays and win the game, but it was down to the fourth quarter. And so our team wakes up every morning knowing that, hey, this is going to be a four-quarter battle. This is a game that, you know, you have to just not beat yourself, fight all the way through, get it to the fourth quarter, and try to make one more play than the other team. And that's real football to me. I love that kind of football where you have to come out and be ready to play for 60 minutes. And so we know that about them. Hopefully they feel the same way about us. And you know, we'll put the ball down and we'll just play.
The Big 12 has a lot of dual-threat quarterbacks kind of throughout the league, and it's been that way for a while. What kind of challenge is Frank Harris going to bring to y'all, and what do you think about this challenge for your defense? Do you think you'll learn something?
Yeah, I mean, I think even just the work yesterday, luckily we have guys, you know, on the team like Gary Bohannon and Charlie who do run in practice, so we're always so constantly concerned with, you know, rush lanes and things like that. But, you know, I think Frank's just – he's a really special player, and – you know, a lot of guys get outside the pocket and they just take off and run. He takes off and he is looking down the field. And I think what's really special is I haven't been around many guys who, you know, he had a guy grabbing his leg there today. He's still looking down the field as he's being pulled to the ground to find someone who's wide open. So he makes these great off-balance, off-schedule throws. And so, you know, it's hard to replicate that in practice, but you have to manage the dual-threat quarterback in modern college football. You know, it's what makes it difficult to defend. So we practice it, you know, we just kind of, we're going to run our defense, you know, run our base calls. But at the same time, have a real eye for no matter what personnel grouping we're in or whatever they're in, you always have to have an extra hat accounted for him.
So there's Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule from just about a half or hour or so ago over on Baylor's campus as the Bears are preparing for the Roadrunners on Saturday. And we're able to avenge that really tough loss in Matt Rhule's first year where it was close and he felt like they could actually go win that game coming off the heels of the Liberty disaster and yet just weren't able to get it done. And then last year was a bit of a struggle, although on that Facebook broadcast, they eventually pulled away and were able to win without stressing people too much. But this would be a game where if they can come out, especially all the hype that UTSA is rolling off of, they come out and win this game convincingly, not necessarily the exact fashion they did last week, but similar, then I'd feel really good about the direction that they're headed. If they struggle, I won't necessarily panic and say that that means that they're a bad team all of a sudden. It just means that maybe UTSA is a lot better than people expected. But it will tell us a lot, I think, on Saturday, mm-hmm. because SFA only told me really that this is a team that went out and handled its business like a team that is much better than SFA should. So they have now reached that point where they can prove that they can beat teams the way that they're supposed to. They still have boxes to check, obviously. Can they beat the OUs and the UTs? Can they beat the ranked teams that they're not favored against? But this one, they're heavily favored, and it won't shock me for them to win this game. I fully expect them to win this game, but how they do so, how they look in doing so, will tell me a lot about the direction of this team, as will each game subsequently as we go along here.
You just want to see the team continue to improve. I mean, that's if you're a Baylor fan, that's exactly what you're looking for, is improvement. You want to see them check off another box as far as, okay, they're still not giving up big plays. They're still not, trying to over-pursue guys that are, the offensive players and stuff. And so you just want to see that improvement, want to see that team continue to do what they're doing. And again, there was a few lanes that were open against SFA, especially early on running, that they didn't even touch the guys, and they were just kind of running free down the middle of the field. They got to be able to eliminate that, So that's something that you're going to be looking for if you're a Baylor fan.
Definitely. And the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award unveiled its first week, Player of the Week, and also its honorable mentions. And with so many contests featuring lopsided opponents, there were a lot of guys who had big weeks this week from the state of Texas playing their college football all over the country, about 20 names deep. It was a lengthy list compared to what it normally is with seven or eight guys on a weekly basis. But Tristan Ebner was one of those honorable mentions. So cool little honor for him after his big day on Saturday, where he didn't pile up a ton of yards, but he piled up touchdowns, and they were touchdowns that mattered in the course of that game. So Tristan Ebner, honorable mention. A lot of other guys, Sam Ellinger, Jalen Hurts was the player of the week, not surprisingly, as he's picked up pretty much every player of the week honor he's available for, I think, mm-hmm. at this point, and rightfully so with what he did on Sunday night against Houston. So we'll take a break right here. There was Matt Rhule. We've got a couple Zeke notes and a lot we can still try to cram in this last 15 or so minutes. We'll get to what we can. Stick with us. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949, because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
It's tailgate season, and the ultimate tailgate is at Richard Carr. The six-function multi-pro tailgate's only available on the next-generation GMC Sierra. Easy in-and-out steps, a load stop, a work desk surface, an electric outlet, and more is just one more reason why Sierra is the best truck on the road. Right now, save $11,000 off a 2019 Sierra SLT Crew Cab at Richard Carr, and come by to experience the multi-pro tailgate yourself and register to win an ultimate tailgate package, including Baylor and Cowboy football tickets, a tent, chairs, and a cooler. And Richard Carr Motors will do what it takes, to earn your business. They will give you more for your trade. They will give you free oil changes, $20 loaner cars when your car is in service, and their drive home today guarantee. If they don't have the car you want in stock, they'll get it for you within 24 to 48 hours. And in the meantime, until it arrives, they'll put you in a quality loaner vehicle. So go see the people you can count on today at Highway 6, the Imperial Exit, or at RichardCarMotors.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Since 1952, Texas Farm Bureau Insurance has been protecting customers' moments, the big, the small, and the everyday, helping customers manage the financial risk of everyday life and successfully recover from any insured loss through prompt, professional, and personal service based on high ethical standards and fairness. And J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance 8 consecutive years for highest customer satisfaction among auto insurers. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, txfb-ins.com.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fuels or look them up on Facebook.
Amanda Cunningham with Coldwell Banker Apex is one of the only global luxury specialists in Waco, Texas. List your luxury property with Amanda Cunningham to receive immediate exposure to Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Mansion Global, and more. With her global network and extended international reach, she can help you find the perfect vacation or family home anywhere around the world. To find more info, tune in to ESPN Radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 9 and 10 a.m. or find Amanda on Facebook.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slovacek Sausage in West. Zeke Elliott's 40-day holdout is over. The Cowboys running back signed a 6-year, $90 million extension with $50 million guaranteed and rejoined the team for practice this morning. Jerry Jones was on CNBC earlier and shared what Elliott and all-time NFL leading rusher Emmitt Smith have in common.
But I will say this, they both have a lion heart. And believe it or not, Bill Parcells used to give lectures on just how lion-hearted a running back has to be. They're continually taking the pounding. They continually have to gather it up and go some more.
All right, we've got the Rangers and Yankees 5:30 first pitch here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Well,
that was fun. Oh, I love Paul Catalina. I love when he gets fired up. Even when he doesn't mean to get fired up, he just gets fired up.
Well, it's a good thing he's going on air soon. He'll have an outlet for all of that pent-up fired-upness. And we've got an announcement for you. It's not a huge deal by any means, but please know that when I'm telling you this, I understand that there could be a little bit of frustration. It's not a huge life or death type of thing, so really it's not a big deal, but it can be a little frustrating when you're used to going somewhere and you just get used to going to that spot. And if that spot keeps moving, you're like, what the hell? Why can't I find, you know, what's going on here? We have made a change in the company that hosts our website. And I know that a lot of people go to our website mostly for podcasts and things like that. So yesterday, the website was offline because we were in the process of changing it. And with this change comes a change in the name. Now, I realize the name changed like a year ago. And so you may have just gotten used to ListenCentralTexasSports.com. But just delete that from your brain moving forward, because we've now been told the new website is ready to go. It's going by a different name. And it looks really sharp. I think you'll enjoy it immensely. And we'll have all your podcasts and things like that up there. But the website now for the station, hopefully for the foreseeable future and not changing anytime soon, but go ahead and bookmark it, is SyntexSportsFan.com. SyntexSportsFan.com is the new website address. SyntexSportsFan.com should be pretty easy to remember. And that is where the official ESPN website will be. Paul Catalina, the one behind the big switchover and all that comes with that. So if you go over there and you experience any type of a problem, then just relay it, and we'll try to get it worked out. Any kinks in these first couple of days of having it, but just go ahead and bookmark it now. If you're a podcast listener, SendTexSportsFan.com, the website, delete the Listen Central Texas Sports that's no longer going to be used. So just a heads up there, and we'll still be tweeting out, you know, the interviews as well for those of you who get those through Twitter and whatnot. That's not going to change. It'll just take you to a different place, but everything will be pretty much the same there.
And it looks really nice. I mean, it is. It's really, really sharp.
And you love the name.
I do.
Q just made Paul Catalina almost go postal in here with the name.
Well, no. I thought it was kind of a joke, but then it was.
Well, I know. I thought it was a joke at first, too, until it went past 10. All of a sudden, it got to 12, and I thought, oh, he's actually kind of upset.
You know, Paul, he goes from 2 to 12
I know,
in no time.
And I don't mean to do that. I didn't realize that I had even been asked about the input on the website name, but hey, that's cool.
And we're still working out, so when we switch hosts on podcast, our archives are still kind of moving over. So if you're trying to listen to something from like a week ago and it's not working, just give us some time. But I think all that should be active soon.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. We have probably at least 15 to 20 podcasts a day on average. Between all the shows that we have, J-Mo and us and You Make the Call. And
the Matt Mosley show.
Yes, him too. And and all the Baylor audio that we get that's separate, that we have separate stuff for. So there's a lot of audio. If you think about the last couple of years alone and 5 to 10 podcasts on a daily basis nearly all year long, that's a lot of audio to move over. So, yeah, if you can't find that random interview you were looking for, just give us some time. But also, every time we tweet out those links, the page that it sends you to, you can download those immediately. So I would just encourage you, if you got an interview you think you might want to listen to again or save, and not to worry about going, oh, they're switching websites, got to go back and find that. Just download it originally, and you'll have it and be good to go. But yes, for podcasts and all that type of stuff, as far as a main website to go to, from now until hopefully forever, SendTexSportsFan.com.
And make sure you hit up the Bush and Chicken text line all throughout You Make the Call at 254-662-1660 and let them know that you really like the website and you like the name, because Paul's not in a good mood now. I made him angry and I didn't mean to. And so, we got to put Paul back in a happy place.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice if it was just something like, if 1660, I think, is what we had for a while. 1660
ESPN.com. That was easy, yeah.
And then I don't know why that changed. I don't even remember. And then it flipped. And so, you know, the thing is there's a lot of people that just go buy website addresses. So it's not as simple as like, oh, I'm just going to make it.
Right.
ESPNCentralTexas.com. Like, somebody has that, and they hold on to them to try to make money off of them later. So we got SendTexSportsFan.com, and that'll be your one-stop shop.
I think the only reason I don't like SendTexSportsFan.com is because it sounds like a fan website.
Okay.
That's the only reason. It sounds like something that, you know, somebody would do as like a podcast.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just
we'll all
just
get used to it.
Yeah, it just wasn't my preference.
Yeah, it's just different, and we'll all get used to it. And
it better be my preference now.
Well, you have no choice. It is your preference.
Paul's going to stab me when I walk out of the studio now. My bad, Paul.
Well, he has been very busy
working his tail off. He's doing a lot of stuff, so I totally get it. And hey, man, my bad. I probably should have said something like a couple weeks after. After everything, all the
today
dust
was probably yeah, not the right probably day.
The timing was bad. That's my fault. That's my fault. I'll take that.
One more time for you, though. SendTexSportsFan.com, our new website, and hopefully the last website for a really, really, really long time. So Zeke is speaking to the media out in the DFW out at Frisco, and it looked like they had him like in a big hallway or something. I thought they had like press conference rooms.
They had so many people there that they had to put him up on a pedestal or something. Looked like he was in the middle of right when you walk off the practice fields. There's a big long stretch of hallway. Yeah. Looked like he was right there, and then maybe even standing up on a bench so there could be so many reporters there.
Yeah. So Zeke said that he didn't anticipate being here today. That when he went to bed last night, that is, that he didn't think he was going to be here. Got a call at about 6 a.m. to get to practice. And was told that the deal was done. Said it took a few phone calls to wake him up this morning, but the energy in the building was awesome and very uplifting because he went to bed in a bad place last night. And just waking up and getting that call, he says, being able to come in and work out was special. And seeing his guys was special. There's a lot of energy in the building. He mentioned that again. Also, he talked about Tony Pollard, said he's a hell of a back, pumped him up to watch him, said he's a great receiver, great runner, inside and outside the tackles. He can block. Zeke said, I really like him as a back. He really did a good job during OTA's preseason, stepped his game up. So some nice compliments for who's going to be his running mate this year. Also, Zeke on his time in Cabo says, I was isolated, ate the same food every day. It got old quick. It was mentally draining. And that it was his teammates who kept him going. So they were very encouraging with their words, kept him going, including one unnamed teammate who he said messaged him saying, don't come back without a deal. So his teammates had his back, and that helped keep him going. I don't know why he felt he would need to be eating the same food every day or anything like that.
Marshall
Faulk
had said something about that, and you know, he was the spokesman. He became Zeke's spokesman for a while. He was saying the same thing, that they were at some resort where it was very, very isolated, where nobody can get in as far as like outside people and distractions, and he said that he was on a very strict diet and that they were really, really training. And again, you can't really simulate game time, but he was doing as much as possible to simulate, you know, what he would do at training camp. And so it was kind of like their little diet and their routine that Marshall had him working on. So that was some of the positive that I got from the Marshall conversations that he had talking about Zeke.
Asked about what food he was eating every day. Habanero shrimp, grilled wings, and chicken Caesar salad. Sounds good to me.
I'm about to say, I could eat that every day.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
I could, too. Maybe, like, switch up the sauces or something, but, man, I'd be fine.
Man, I eat a single man sandwich every day. I could definitely eat that every day.
Yeah.
I'd be good.
Yeah. So he said the part about his teammate, he also got a lot of other calls and texts from various other teammates also echoing. I would assume there wasn't just one guy who said, don't come back without a deal. I would think there were probably some others who felt the same way and probably even relayed that message. Zeke said that he'll approach this week like normal, see if he can be fresh by Sunday. How could he not be fresh? You can be the freshest dude out there, brother.
He'll be the freshest. How long will he be able to, you know, like sustain that? That's
right.
All. But yeah, he'll definitely be fresh.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to overdo it too early and risk getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about Dak Prescott and his contract, Zeke said, I want to see it get done. I want to play with him for the rest of my career. So there was Ezekiel Elliott on Dak Prescott, who now, along with Amari Cooper, takes center stage. And I had seen a little tidbit about that earlier. I want to say it was from Ed Werder. And it was basically saying the Amari stuff's not anywhere close to happening,
right?
It looks like. And that could be one that maybe like midseason we hear something about, or right after the season is over with. But for anybody thinking it's going to go boom, 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 all the way through, and that by Sunday they were going to have everybody under lock and key, I mean, that's not realistic, for one. And,
right.
And two, it was never going to happen that way. So according to Ed Werder, Cowboys are continuing to negotiate with Dak Prescott, obviously. But it looks like the Amari Cooper deal, while that's also still being talked about and still being worked on, it's just not something that feels like it's going to pop at any moment. On the Dak in particular, Ed Werder said they've remained focused on Prescott or making a late run. Nothing imminent with Cooper. And I thought he had added more than that, but I guess not. So there you go with that. Zeke did say the part about wanting to play with him for the rest of his career, and then also was asked about being the highest paid running back and why that was important. He said, why? Because I think I'm the best. And that was his answer.
Simple.
So there you go. There's
not wrong.
Zeke from the media session out at the Star here in this last hour or so. Did you have something? Okay. David Smoke joins us now in studio. You make the calls coming up next. And nothing going on today, I guess.
No,
just
they're not going to set the standard. The Cowboys are not going to have a contract, right, Q?
Yeah, that's right.
They mentioned for the last several months that they weren't going to be the one that set the standard. And I think Paul was discussing this with me most of the spring and summer, that they would not match or go over Todd Gurley's contract. They couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did it.
They did.
And a lot of people can paint a picture any way you want, but the bottom line is it's a massive deal for Zeke. And we'll discuss that, of course, and then what it means next.
Yeah, and one of the conversations I've seen going on right now is Andrew Brandt, who's one of the NFL reporter guys out there. He had put out something. He's saying that he had rethought entirely the position on Zeke, because I guess he'd been anti-Zeke being locked down for, like, basically the rest of his career. You know, if you're talking about an extension onto the 2 years he already had remaining, so you're looking at Zeke's locked down for, like, 8 years now. And I guess he was anti someone putting themselves to be locked down for that long, but now says he's rethought it entirely. And Joel Corey, who I know we all have a lot of respect for, said, exactly, running backs only get one big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, even if odds on longevity and productivity are defied, nobody's going to pay big money for what would be a diminishing return when a running back's on borrowed time. So, yeah, this was Zeke's big chance to strike. He'll never get a deal like this again. And this will be the large portion of the money he'll make in the NFL. Obviously, his rookie deal was as well. But, yeah, I just think that's interesting to see everybody kind of, now that this deal's done, rethinking their position or just looking at it from different angles. And Jerry set the bar, just like he said he would, to your point. So.
Yeah, they weren't going to set the standard for the contracts. Mm-hmm. And now, you know what? With yesterday's Jared Goff news, they're going to have to probably up the ante even more on Dak.
Well, it's going to have to be like probably $110 million guaranteed. I mean, starting point, right? Somewhere right there.
Right around there, yeah, right around there. Anywhere between 107 and 112, 113.
Before
yeah.
we even say immediately what your answer might be, would you trade Jared Goff for Dak Prescott?
I've been saying it multiple times. I'd rather have Dak Prescott as my quarterback than Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would rather have
That's
Dak.
That's debatable. It's very much an argument. It's a good discussion. We'll discuss that in fact a little bit.
We had TJ was on our Bush's Chicken text line. Me and him were going back and forth on Dak and that, and he actually said that he'd rather have, and now, of course, I'm bringing it up. I can't. Remember
Dante Culpepper?
No, he definitely didn't say that. But go ahead. I'll find it in a second.
All right, we'll have John Machota today at 5 with the Athletic. Also, Dave Burchett, Between the White Lines, is a book he's written, and we'll have him on today, an author. He's also one of the guys that's behind the scenes in the Rangers radio broadcast. Matt Rhule spoke with the media. You guys played that. We'll have Blake Lynch, Baylor's outside linebacker and kind of hybrid safety. He'll be on with us for a little bit today.
Got a pick last week.
Yeah, he did, and that's now three games in a row where he's been a part of a turnover, and that was a defense, of course, as you know, that did not know what that meant. Bryce Cherry, Waco Trib at 4:30, and a couple of nuggets as well on high school football.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had a fast show. Yeah, gosh, we had a lot of guests, but it has gone by very, very quickly.
Real quick, TJ said I'd take Goff, Darnold, Wilson, Stafford all over Dak.
Okay. TJ going hard in the paint.
I wouldn't take Goff or Darnold or Stafford over Dak, but I would take Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson's a stud.
I would take Russell Wilson over Dak, yeah, of course.
The rest of those guys, no, Darnold's not proven. Goff is only done it 1 year, and then Stafford is... doesn't have Calvin Johnson anymore, so he's just so-so, in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely haven't seen enough of Darnold to think he's better than Dak at this point.
Exactly.
And Goff, I think we're kind of splitting hairs almost. Even though they're different styles, I just think that they're not that far apart from one another. If one is better, then they're just barely better than one another. So,
and one was a first-round pick, number one overall, and one was a fourth-round pick, almost the end of the fourth round.
Yep, so we can continue on with this type of a conversation. We're just going to have to do it another time because we are all out of time today. Obviously, very, very busy day. You Make the Call should have a great show coming up here over the next 3 hours. But we'll be back at it tomorrow. I do know we're scheduled to talk with Olin Buchanan of TexAgs.com. Obviously, Texas A&M and Clemson this weekend, so we'll have that to discuss. And we'll add on to that between now and tomorrow at noon. But that's when we will talk to you next. Hope you have a great day. Appreciate you chiming in on the text lines, the phone lines, however you do. And even if you don't chime in and just listen, we appreciate you too. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. This is ESPN Central Texas.